quietest moments I wish I knew what I had to do. And even though the sun is shining, well, I feel the rain. Here it comes again, dear. And even when you showed me my heart was out of tune, well, there's a shadow of doubt that's not letting me find you too soon. The music that you gave me, the language of my soul, Lord, I wanna be with you. Won't you let me come in from the cold? Even though the stars are listening and the ocean's deep, I just go to sleep. And then I create the silent movie, you become the star. Is that what you are, dear? Your whisper tells a secret, your laughter brings me joy, and a wonder of feeling and nature's own little boy. But still the tears keep falling, they're raining from the sky. Well, let the ladder make us to go under before I get high.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. Two days ago on Monday, we were plagued with a lot of technical difficulties, and so we're holding tonight's call here on Wednesday night. We have a paper to read. It was filed in the courts yesterday. We have another paper working on that should be ready for next week, Lord willing, and we'll read that one and we'll be filing that one. We've got quite a few papers we plan on filing. We have a lot to say. There's a lot of people to talk to and a lot of people to straighten out and bring them back down to where they need to be, like about 20 notches. All right, anyway, we broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Our participant code is 385-698. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send it to questions, that's plural questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can see their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab up on the top right. Okay, let's take a look into God's Word before we get started tonight. We're going to be looking into, Isaiah chapter 27 particularly. It's 13 verses. But we're going to go back to Isaiah 26 and read the last two verses because it's a lead into verses 27. So we'll start there. So Isaiah 26, verse 20, and we'll be reading through Isaiah 27, verse 13. Come now, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, Jehovah cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall reveal her blood and shall no more cover her slain. In that day, Jehovah, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her, a vineyard of red wine. I, Jehovah, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle. That was a question. Let me reread that. Fury is not in me, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle. I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel, which is the children of God, shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him, as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough winds in that day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sins. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Yet the defenced city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs or the branches thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The woman come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that Jehovah shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship Jehovah in the holy mountain, holy mount of Jerusalem. Isaiah 26:20-27:13. Okay. Tonight we're going to take a look at a paper. As I mentioned a little earlier, we filed this paper yesterday in the courts. It's directed to the judiciary in all 94 federal district courts and the United States Supreme Court. So we send a copy to all of the nine United States Supreme Court justices. I don't know if we may have mentioned this last we didn't mention it last week. We may have mentioned it Monday, but we didn't put that recording up. We'll be putting this recording up in its place. On June 15, 2015, Scalia wrote for his position in a particular case. I forget the name of the case. Let me see. Maybe I made a note of it down here. Now, we'll try to get the name of the case a little later. As a matter of fact, in this paper, we do reference that case, I believe. So let me take a quick look. Or maybe when we come about it, I think I put it in on the end. Yes, due process. Kerry versus Dinn. K-E-R-R-Y-V Dinn. D-I-N. It was decided on June 15, 2015. And it's very interesting because June 15th to the day, 2015, to the day, was the 800th anniversary of Magna Carta. Justice Anton Scalia made a point on that day in his decision to bring up the Magna Carta. And we're going to read a chapter of that. It's towards the end of this paper. But we're going to read a chapter out of that decision. It's very impressive, again, as anything else, and especially as Williams, United States versus Williams. I think maybe that is his message to us, possibly, because we've been sending them our paperwork. And we've included them as respondents or defendants, shall I say, in this case, because now we've opened the court of record. Now they are defendants. They need to come out and defend their position. This is an information and writ of mandamus. We also put a note here that we're coming quorum nobis, which is that is before the king himself. That's the king's bench. That is we the people. And we notified by fax. We're going through the process right now. I believe we sent out through email to all of the sheriffs and a few. We didn't have too many emails of other elected individuals, but we do have fax numbers. So we sent out to all the sheriffs and the marshals and the FBI and other elected and appointed servants. This is going out by fax and email. I do know emails went out. I think faxes are just getting ready to go out. If Gary's on the line, maybe he can inform us of that when we get to the end of this. Okay, as I mentioned, we are focusing in on the judiciary of all 94 federal district courts and the United States Supreme Court as defendants. Information, writ mandamus. The purpose of this mandamus is to remind our arrogant judiciary that... All right, whoever's doing that, stay away from that button, please. So everybody leave that button alone, please. Let me restart here. The purpose of this mandamus is to remind our arrogant judiciary that we, the people, vested them with judicial power, thereby ordaining them to judge, interpret, construe, and apply the law, but only by our consent through constitutions, grand and petite juries. Or petite or petty. I know there's people who pronounce this two different ways, so... petite, I guess. I think petite might be a better, better pronunciation. By the way, I meant to have posted this up, and I did not get it posted up. I will post it up tonight, though. I'm just going to read it. I'm sorry, can't follow along with it. Okay. Anyway, next paragraph after that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. Next paragraph. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution, placing the people above the Constitution and our servants under the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. We, the people, consent or not to the law through grand juries and petite juries. Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to John Cartwright on June 5, 1824, wrote, "The constitutions of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent, and deciding by a jury of themselves both facts and law in all judiciary cases in which any fact is involved." The New York State Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, confirms this, stating that the jury shall have the right to determine the law and the facts. History of the grand jury. The first grand jury impaneled themselves. The power to impanel grand juries was also given to sheriffs and coroners, who are elected by the people and answer directly to them. It was not until recent times that the prosecutor impanels the grand juries. Certainly, like anyone else, the prosecutor may call for the grand jury, but not impanel them. That prerogative belongs to the people, sheriffs, and coroners. The need for the people themselves to impanel the grand jury is obvious. What if it were the prosecutor or the sheriff that is in consideration of indictment? If the people need the permission of these servants in order to call for a grand jury, obviously those servants would block the people from calling the grand jury. Today, we have an out-of-control corrupt judiciary acting in concert with the prosecutor. Both judiciary and prosecutors of the majority. If not all the courts will not permit the people to talk to the grand jury, this practice is taught and controlled by the bar, the enemy of liberty. And if any judge or prosecutor crosses the status quo, they will find themselves targets and unable to practice in their courts. The Magna Carta, paragraph 61, set the common law rule for calling the grand jury, wherein we read, "Moreover, for God and the amendment of our kingdom, and for a better calming of the quarrel that has arisen between us and our elected and appointed stewards, we have ordained all these concessions, desiring that they should enjoy them in complete and firm endurance forever. We give and grant to them the underwritten security, namely, that the 25, that's the grand jury, who shall be bound by oath to observe and hold and cause to be observed peace and liberties, we have granted and confirmed to them by this our present charter, so that if we or our justices or our sheriffs or any one of our officers shall in anything be at fault towards anyone, or shall have broken any one of the articles of this peace or this security, and the offense be notified to four of the aforesaid 25, and that's where we get our administration from, four. The said four shall repair to us, and laying the transgression before us, petition to have that transgression redressed without delay." In 1215, the barons rose up in rebellion against the king, king's abuse of feudal law and custom. John faced with superior force, had no choice but to give in to their demands. earlier kings of England had granted concessions to the feudal barons, but these charters were vaguely worded and issued voluntarily. The document drawn up for John in June 1215, however, forced the king to make specific guarantees of the rights and privileges of his barons and the freedom of the church. On June 15, 1215, John met the barons at Runnymede on the Thames and set his seal to the Articles of the Barons, which after minor revisions were formally issued as the Magna Carta. The charter consisted of a preamble. The charter consisted of a preamble and 63 clauses and dealt mainly with feudal concerns that had little impact outside 13th century England. However, the document was remarkable in that it implied that there were laws the king was bound to observe, thus precluding and future claims to absolutism by the English monarch of greatest interest. No later generation was clause 39, which states that no free man shall be arrested or imprisoned or diseased or outlawed or exiled or in any way victimized except by the lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. This clause has been celebrated as an early guarantee of trial by jury and of habeas corpus and inspired England's petition of rights, 1628, and the Habeas Corpus Act of 1679. In May 1215, a group of discontented barons, freemen, renounced their fealty or loyalty to King John and rebelled, led by Robert FitzWalter, who called himself Marshal of the Army of God and Holy Church. The rebel barons captured London on May 17, 1215, and the following month, June 15, finally forced King John to grant Magna Carta. The barons then made peace with the king and renewed their allegiance to him. Magna Carta also contained a clause which provided that 25 barons should oversee the enforcement of its provisions. The freemen. Freemen formed a small portion of the population of the 13th century England, but the most famous clause of Magna Carta stating, "No free man shall be seized or imprisoned," directly applied to them. Although Magna Carta focused on the interests of the barons, a significant portion of its clauses dealt with all freemen, which included the barons, the knights, and the free peasantry, oppressed by the judiciary. Just as the oppression by the king caused the Declaration of Independence, we, the people today, are oppressed by the judiciary servants that have seized control of our house, who at every stage of many oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince, or judge in bad behavior, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be judge of a free people. Presentments or indictments. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, a crime for which that one can be incarcerated or his life taken, unless on a presentment of an indictment by a grand jury. Bill of Rights, Fifth Amendment. I just want to make a note here. You know, an infamous crime is any crime that would require a jail sentence or death penalty. That's an infamous crime. And it says here that it must be done by presentment or an indictment by a grand jury. I know in a federal rule book I was reading and some other stuff I was looking at concerning how the federal courts work today, they call an infamous crime anything that gets over a year and a day. You know, anything that's a year and a day in prison or more, that's an infamous crime to them. But clearly the Constitution, proven by the Constitution, proven by the Fifth Amendment particularly, the right of grand jury, you can't take life, you can't take liberty, you can't take property without a grand jury indictment. So that makes the point of what an infamous crime is. You can't take my liberty, not even for one day. You have to get my peers, and they have to decide to take my liberty. Okay, let's see where I was. Okay, impartial jury. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. Bill of Rights, Amendment 6. Rules of the Common Law. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact trialed by jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Bill of Rights, Seventh Amendment. Common law is the law of the land. Common law is what our courts should be operating under. They're operating under chancery. Usurped by the government. If the government can select the jurors like you do now, it will, of course, select those whom it supposes will be favorable to its enactments, like you do now, and an exclusion of any of all freemen from eligibility is a selection of those not excluded, like you do now. It will be seen from the statute cited that the most absolute authority over the jury box, that is, over the right of the people to sit in juries, has been usurped by the government, like it is now. Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury, page 92, 1852. Government cannot choose juries. We the people cannot continue to permit government to choose the juries. The only solution is found in the spirit of Magna Carta. Therefore, we the people will provide for four qualified people within each county, educated in the Constitution, civics, common law, and process and procedure, who shall take on the duty and the authority of the four freemen, so that we, if we or our justices or our sheriffs or any one of our officers shall be in any way as any fault towards anyone, or shall have broken any one of the articles of the peace of this security, and the offense be notified to the four, the said four shall repair to us and, laying the transgression before us, petition to have the transgression redressed without delay, and the four will provide for anyone, civil or servant, to bring a case before the grand jury. Thomas Jefferson, I know no safer depository of the ultimate powers of society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true correctiveness of abuses of constitutional power. Government held to the Constitution. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor ever yet imagined by men, by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. Thomas Jefferson, 1789. Opposition to the court. John Adams, 1771. It's not only the juror's right, but his duty in that case to find the verdict according to his own best understanding, judgment, and conscience through indirect opposition to the direction of the court. Against the judge's instructions. Juries should acquit even against the judge's instructions. If exercising their judgment with discretion and honesty, they have a clear conviction that the charges of the court is wrong. Alexander Hamilton, 1804. Fiduciary power only. John Locke, Second Thesis of Government. Yet the legislature, being only a fiduciary power to act for certain ends, there remains still in the people a supreme power to remove or alter the legislative when they find legislative act contrary to the trust reposed to them in them. And thus the community perpetually retains a supreme power of saving themselves from the attempts and designs of anybody, even of their legislators, whenever they shall be so foolish or so wicked as to lay and carry on design against liberties and properties of the subject. Despotism of an oligarchy, Thomas Jefferson. To consider the judge as the ultimate arbitrator of the Constitution questions is a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy. That's exactly where we are today, by the way. Judge of the Law, Lysander Spooner, an essay on Trial by Jury, 1852, page 11. For more than 600 years, that is, since Magna Carta in 1215, there has been no clearer principle in English or American constitutional law than that in criminal cases. It is not only the right and the duty of juries to judge what are the facts, what is the law, and what was the moral intent of the accused, but that it is also their right and their primary and paramount duty to judge of the justice of the law, and to hold all laws invalid that are in their opinion unjust or oppressive, and all persons guiltless in violating or resisting the execution of such laws. Fair Trial, Journals of the Continental Congress, 1774, 1789. One great right is that trial by jury. This provides that neither life, liberty, nor property can be taken from the possessor until 12 of his unexceptionable countrymen and peers of his vintage, who from the neighborhood may reasonably be supposed to be acquainted with his character and the characters of the witness upon a fair trial and full inquiry, face to face in open court, before as many people as choose to attend shall pass their sentence upon oath against him. Independence from judicial branch. Justin Anton Scalia in United States versus Williams in 1992, writing for the majority, wrote, "The grand jury's functional independence from the judiciary branch is evident both in the scope of its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in the manner in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or controversy, the grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that the law is being violated, or even because it just wants assurance that it is not. The grand jury is an English institution brought to this country by the early colonists and incorporated in the Constitution by the founders to provide a fair method for instituting criminal proceedings against persons believed to have committed crimes." Grand jury separation from the courts. Quoting, this continues in United States versus Williams, and this continues with Justice Anton Scalia. Quoting, Branchenberg versus Hayes. "Because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. Rooted in long centuries of Anglo-Saxon history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own rights. Referee between government and people. In fact, the whole theory of the function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. Grand jury can overrule the judge." Justice Anton Scalia, continuing, quoting, Costello versus United States, Magna Carta. "This section established a committee of 25 barons, freemen, of people, 25 barons or 25 freemen, who made up the first grand jury and could at any time meet and overrule the will of the king if he defiled the provisions of the charter, seizing his castles, his possessions, if it was considered necessary. This was based on a medieval legal practice known as distraint, but it was the first time it had been applied a monarch. The grand jury's historic functions survives to this day. and responsibilities continue to include both the determination whether there is probable cause to believe a crime has been committed and the protection of the citizen against unfounded criminal prosecutions. So here, Anton Scalia makes it quite clear. It continues to this day. The 25 can pull themselves together. After all, that's what the grand jury started out, the Magna Carta. 25 pulled themselves together. Enough is enough. We're going to fix this problem, and we're going to hold this king to the fire. And that's what we, the people, are doing today, and we need to continue. Let's see. Protector against oppressive governmental actions. Quoting Justice Powell, again, this is Anton Scalia, quoting Justice Powell in United States versus Calandria, 1974. The institution of the grand jury is deeply rooted in Anglo-American history. In England, the grand jury served for centuries both as a body of accusers sworn to discover and present for trial persons suspected of criminal wrongdoing, and as a protector of the citizens against arbitrary and oppressive governmental action. In this country, the founders through the grand jury, found the grand jury so essential to basic liberties that they provided in the Fifth Amendment that federal prosecution for serious crimes could only be instituted by a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury. And again, that's where we are today. We have people being suppressed and accused and all oppressed. Due process. And he continues. In the case of Kerry versus Dinn, decided June 15, 2015, and this is the case that I was talking about that Scalia wrote for just this past months ago. What was it, June 15th, which was the very day of Magna Carta 800-year anniversary. And he goes on to say, the due process clause has its origin in Magna Carta. As originally drafted, the Great Charter provided that no free man shall be taken or imprisoned or be deceased of his freehold or liberties or free customs, or be outlawed or exiled or any otherwise destroyed, nor will we not pass upon him nor condemn him but by lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. Magna Carta, chapter 29, and the second part of the Institutes of Laws in England, 45-1797. Now, I find it very interesting that he chose to do that and to make this point, especially on that date. And I think maybe he's sending us the message. Okay, the Wherefore Clause. This is the end of the document, the Wherefore Clause. We the people command the jury, the judiciary, to obey the Constitution or the United States of America. Stop oppressing the people. Shut down the unconstitutional chancery courts found in every federal district and reopen the people's Article III Common Law Courts of Justice. Release from prison all the victims of vindictive prosecution. Release from prison all political prisoners. Release from prison all the victims incarcerated without an indictment from an unbiased jury of their peers. Release from prison all the victims incarcerated without due process. Summary judgments are not due process. Stop extorting a fee for justice. Stop enforcing licenses that do not exist to practice law. Stop resisting we the people's endeavor to return our courts to courts of honor, justice, and mercy. You are appointed servants and took an oath to serve and protect the Constitution. And the time has come for those whose consciences are unsettled to rise and speak up. Remaining silent is not an option. Silence equals fraud. And in this case, it equals fraud, felony rescue, high treason, and conspiracy. This is our final offer of mercy. Still, the olive branch remains stretched out as time slips into the future, and a fast-moving groundswell of people from all 3,143 American counties near critical mass at which time the olive branch will turn into indictments and arrests. We the People Promise. January 19, 2016, signed and sealed by the grand jury foreman. Okay, so these papers, again, I apologize not getting them up beforehand, but I will get this paper up. It will be found on our news page for anybody, you know, anybody who wants to read all these papers. And we've kind of cleaned up this page a little bit and got it in better order. But right now, the top focus on this news page is click on news, second link, second tag after the welcome. We have all of the Oregon papers. We call it Oregon Ground Zero because that's where we're spearheading into the court, and we're going to pile all kinds of papers of this type up there. But we're going to respond. Next response is to Homeland Security, which out of New Jersey, they did some things, and they even mentioned us. So we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to lay that paper out. There's a flyer that they put out, and it was focusing in on Oregon, which brings us right back to where we belong, okay? And we have a lot to say to these people about what they're doing and by what authority they think that they're acting from that they cannot act. We also have a paper being put together to go after the sheriff. There's a lot of activity going on out there. And again, I don't know if Gerard's in the room, but I'm going to hand it over if he is shortly, and he'll talk a little more about that stuff. There's a lot of activity going out in Oregon. And it seems that they're really starting to prepare for potential violence. But it probably is just something, you know, psyops. At least we hope it is. I don't think they can be this bold now to try something like that at this point in time. But nevertheless, we're going to put the sheriff on notice. If anyone out there gets injured or killed because of some action that the FBI or any other federal agent or any other police force whatsoever takes, there's no reason for violence. And if they move that way, not only the people who are responsible for whatever murders take place and for whatever injuries take place, for whatever damages take place, the sheriff will suffer the same fate. It is his responsibility. He's responsible for that county. He is the guy to make sure that law is being applied, and he's not doing his job. And I'm sorry, and I'm sure we're all sorry, that he's so ignorant that he doesn't know the Constitution, he doesn't understand his power and his authority, but by the time we get finished with him, with the paper we have going for him, he will understand and he will know what his authority is, and he will know the errors of his way, and he either will correct it, or he's going to go to jail for it. We will indict him also. But he's going to be responsible for anything and any damages and any injuries that happen out there. We're also going to lay some weight on the governor because he also is responsible for what's going on in the state. He is the executive of the state, and he shouldn't be allowing these. Matter of fact, he should be calling the sheriff saying, get out there and throw these feds off. You know, there is no, and I think we covered this in our last paper, I know we did, on territories. You cannot create a territory with inside a state. The nature of, and the definition of what a territory is something outside of the states. And to really understand that, go back and read the last paper we sent in. And that paper was a show cause. It's the fourth paper down on the news page. So anyway, we put together this first on the top of the page. We call it Oregon Ground Zero. And it's the following papers are filed in federal district courts for the District of Oregon concerning extortion by the federal agents upon the Hammonds and other ranchers, loggers, and miners in the standoff in Oregon. This case exposes extortion by federal agents on a national scale. And so this is where we're filing all the papers, and you will file them here. You'll find them here, and you'll see them coming up as date. This one was dated the 19th, so it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It'll be paper number 6. Also under there, we have affidavits filed in federal district court. Anybody who has been injured, whether they're working a case with us or not, whether it's from the past, or it doesn't matter. If the government has injured anyone, if the federal government has injured you, if the state government has injured you, if the judges have injured you, the IRS has injured you, you need to do an affidavit and get it to us, and we're going to make it part of this case. So we want to pour in the all of the evidence. Right now we have about 100 pages of affidavits, which I'm not sure how many affidavits of those 100 pages would be. I'm supposing 30 or 40 affidavits in already filed. But we are continuing to collect more affidavits. Please send your affidavits. Get a hold of Linda. You can reach her by linda@nationallibertyalliance.org. Let her know that you want to send an affidavit in. She'll make give them your phone number and other contact information. And we're going to put a page together. I don't know if Linda was going to do, I think this past Tuesday, I told her to do a study on affidavits, on how to file an affidavit and so on. We're going to make sure that study or that communications of information is going to be in a prominent place on our site with a copy of a form for affidavit, which will give you the header and the footer. And then what's in between is your case. And that recording, which hopefully was done this past Tuesday, yesterday, that recording will also be posted with that affidavit form. And therefore, people need a little more instruction on how to write an affidavit, all they do is listen to that, download the form, fill it out. Before you get it notarized, you might want to share it with Linda. Make sure it's appropriate, and she'll help work through that. And then once it's perfected, you can go get your signature on it and get us a copy, and we will file that also in the federal court out there in Oregon. This is a national case. This is for problems throughout the entire nation in all 94 districts. Anybody can get us an affidavit, we definitely would welcome that. Okay, let's move on. I have a one question here. I think I saw a couple of questions the other day, but I don't have them here, so we'll pick them up next Monday if we do have a couple of other questions. But we have one here. Can you tell me where the idea came from that jury was to be of your peers? And what exactly does that mean? For example, does it mean that they do the same job, live in the same community, etc.? And that's the key thing. They live in the same community. They're your peers. They understand you. They know, they're familiar with the business of the county. They're familiar with the nature of the county. They're familiar with the people, generally speaking. I take a notice of this. I live in Dutchess County, and people that live in Dutchess County are different, just a little bit, not major ways, but they're a little different than the people that live across the river in Ulster County, or a little bit further up north in Columbia County. They're just a little different. But nevertheless, that difference is effective in one way or another, and that's the people that we're talking about, is the peers. I just noticed my mic was kind of up in the air. Hopefully I've been coming through clear. But in any event, that is your peers. And the idea of a jury of your peers, of course, comes from Magna Carta and history from that point forward. The people are much better and able to judge their peers, the people of their county, than any elected individual, any judge, or anybody else. We're doing business with each other. We're in the same society. We're exchanging information and trading and so on and so forth. So, anyway, the idea of the peers, that's what that is, and it does have to do with the people living in the same community. Okay, I think that brings us to the end. Gary, do you have anything here? I know I called for your name while we were talking.
No, I had stepped away. I had a bunch of stuff going on. What may I answer for you?
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest. If anybody else remembers what it was that I said, Gary can give us the information on.
Something about faxes.
Oh, yeah, faxes. Where we're at with that, what's going on. Hey, how is that since we fixed it? Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, it's not well.
Not well. Okay, we'll call them tomorrow again.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Let's try to do that in the morning first thing, right?
Yeah. But we've done our first combination of the media, which is about 4,000 to 6,000 fax numbers, and combined them with the elected officials. So we're trailing at about 10,400 total faxes. This is a one pager. With the troubles we're having right now, I'm kind of glad it's only a one-pager, but we're very fortunate that our faxes are going actually very rapidly. We got a very good service. We've got the best hardware we can possibly have on the job, the best modems, the best digiboard, and a good server behind it, and actually good connection lines, except I think there's something, actually I think it is the connection lines in this case. So we'll have to contact them again, but I like the faxes, and I'm hoping we're still going to be able to double up on emails, because I've been learning about some of the elected officials, like the state representatives, that are maybe only like a 90 day, so they may not get this fax right away or in a timely manner. We may email may be the best route for them, but as long as I don't have to sit and stuff any more envelopes and stamp any more letters, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. By the way, I did get the number of the guy's boss. You know, the tech that came here gave me his number of a local boss, and so he said if we had any problems, we can call him direct. We'll call him tomorrow.
We're gonna need that.
All right. Okay. I don't know if is Gerard here. Did Gerard come into the room yet? I don't see him. I don't think. Maybe you can go on another line, give him a call, see if he's coming yet.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And meanwhile, I'll pick up on things and continue until he gets here. We might bail out early tonight. I don't know. It's coming up on 10 o'clock now. We might bail out at 11, but we'll see how things go. We'll just take it one step at a time. So, okay, I'm going to go into Q&A. Now, before I hit Q&A, let me just make the note. People, let's wait. Let's give 10 or 15 seconds for anybody that is new or anybody that has not had opportunity to speak ever, or anybody who hasn't spoken in a long time, asked any question or made any comments. So those people who haven't been able to communicate or just brand new, let them get into the queue first. It's *6 once I hit the button, *6 to get into the queue, and then I think you'll be told to hit *1 or something like that. But just follow the instructions. So we're going to do that. So let's give it 15, 20 seconds for those people, and then anybody else can get into the queue. I'll let you know when the 15, 20 seconds is up. We're in Q&A right now. So anybody that's new would like to make a comment or a question, anybody that hasn't spoken in a while, let's get into the queue. People who maybe were stuck in the queue, I don't know, last couple of weeks and didn't get a chance to talk, let's get into the queue. Another 5 seconds, and then anyone else can get into the queue. Okay, queue is open for everyone. *6 to get into the queue. Let's take our first caller. This is Tana from Oklahoma. I know he's been on the line before, but he may have something to tell us, some news. So let's take him first. And Gary or Jen or whoever, when Gerard gets in, just let me know. Go ahead, Tana.
Sorry, I'm not eager to speak, or it's not my turn, but Gerard, I don't think, is coming on the line. He met with Carl physically somewhere to handle some stuff, and we've been dealing with that, so he may or may not be on.
Well, yeah, I spoke with him, an hour and 20 minutes ago, and he was meeting with him, but he thought he'd be in, just would be late, but we'll see what happens.
They hadn't even left. I was on the call with them two together, getting all the stuff organized. I'd like to nominate Ollie, and I believe it's Lori, and is it Nancy, to be your investigators to do all your research, and then they.
Okay, I just want they'll have to figure out who the contact person will be. I want one person to talk with, and then they would work with the committee, and whenever we have a meeting or something, they can pull those other people, and that's fine. But I do want one person that I'm going to hold, liable or responsible for getting the job done, and. And so I want someone who's really going to be someone committed, and they can work with as many people as they can get to help do the research that's necessary for whatever information we need for being able to write our papers. But who's that going to be? Is that going to be Ollie?
I think so. Might ask him to see, but I talked to him about it a little bit. I think he's always on it. So.
Okay, so Ollie, sure. Give me a call tomorrow at maybe 10 a.m., roughly speaking, Eastern Standard Time, 845. 833 6560, or Skype me. I think I got you on my Skype. If you're on Skype and we're not pals on Skype, just request a connection, and as soon as I see it, I'll say okay. And anyone else that who else was that? Ollie and who else?
Lori and I believe Nancy from Colorado.
Okay. Lori and Nancy both also 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Where are they on? Are they on the East Coast, West Coast, Central? Where are they?
Colorado. I don't know.
So that's what, Central, I think. Colorado.
Mountain time.
Yeah, mountain.
Okay, so they're two hours different, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so 10, 9, 8. So let's do 11 o'clock. 11 a.m., that's probably a little better for you. So that would be 9 o'clock your time. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Give me a ring on Skype or call me in. It doesn't matter either or, because the number goes, it's my Skype number, so we'll all come into the same room. If anybody needs to be put onto my pal list because we're not connected, I'm pretty sure all three of you I'm connected with. But if not, just make a request and I'll try to prove it before I go to sleep tonight. Okay. Anything else?
I'm done.
Thank you. Okay, David, what state are you from? A VoIP dialer. You must have heard you've been unmuted.
Is that me? This is David from Nevada.
You're David. Go right ahead.
Hi. This is David from Nevada. I just wanted to let JP know that I just sent him the list of assemblymen and Senate. The senators, all their emails and all their numbers and all the information that he wanted. So I didn't know if he got that yet or not. Okay. Also, I haven't got the email. I have it, but I can't get to it right now. That when they're out of session, there's some committee that you're supposed to send emails to. I have that email, but I can't get to it right now since I'm on here because it's in my email thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to let him know that.
Yeah, JP, also, if you start to get any considerable amount of new emails, get a hold of me also, because I want to add them to the email, because we're emailing lots of people. We're doing about 5,000 news medias across the nation, and probably about 4,000 between sheriffs and some other elected individuals, probably close to 4,000 elected individuals. I'm really concerned about making sure the sheriffs get it. We don't have any emails for any U.S. Marshals or any FBI special agents. If we can get their emails, that would be really good. There are 94 of each of them. There's one FBI special agent in every federal district, and there's one U.S. Marshal in every federal district. Now, of course, they get their deputies and stuff, and they can have as many as they need. But nevertheless, it's like an elected sheriff for the district or for the county. But okay. All right, anything else, David?
No, thank you. That's good.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you've been unmuted, 9,000.
Hello?
Yep, what's your first name and your state?
My name is Jim from New Hampshire.
How you doing, Jim?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I had a couple of questions. I received a call from a couple of people. I don't know where I showed up, but I tried to sign up, and for whatever reason, it didn't go through. I tried it twice. A gentleman called me about a week ago and said that he would be getting in touch with, I think he said, Gary.
I know who you are. Okay. You need to put in real information. You didn't have a correct phone number, a correct email address. You didn't have an address. You didn't have a city. You didn't have a state.
I put all that information in.
Yeah. No.
Well, why don't you go back and try it again? Maybe you want him to do it over the phone or something, or he should go back and try it again.
No.
Yeah, he should go back and try it again.
That's the case. I'll try it again.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was wondering about was I had agreed to be a coordinator for the county.
Okay.
I hadn't heard anything.
Okay, so you when you go back and redo it again, make sure you click county organizer. And there's also state coordinators if you want to be that. Anybody who's a state coordinator is also or should also be a county organizer. So you should click both boxes if you want to be state and county. But if you just want to be county organizer, just click on that. County organizer really is, we want to get them all active, and really they're responsible for trying to get other membership within their counties and trying to find also people in sister counties if there's no members in other counties next door and so on. We really need to be working on organizing. There is a, we're building a district leadership across the nation, 94 district leaders in the 94 federal districts. In some of these districts, you have two or three people that have, you know, volunteered, and that's good. The more, the merrier. But their job is really going to be working with state coordinators and county organizers in order to really vamp up and build up their membership within their state and get leadership in every county and make sure that the leadership is getting educated by taking our civics course and our constitutional course. Extremely important. Anybody wants to be an administrator, you have to take those two courses. And for administrators, there's going to be some other stuff. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be setting up, but there is an administrator's handbook that we're going to be, well, we're already working on that. It's moving at a snail's pace, but we're going to try to push it a little harder, maybe in the next week or two, to try to really get that book done and ready to go. Because the moment we get into the court, people are going to need a handbook in order to know how to operate and go forward. There's processes, there's procedures, there's state of mind, state of being, the need of how to orientate the grand juries and the trial juries and all that stuff. And so we'll kind of put it in a book, and people can refer to the book, and as they become more and more experienced in those areas, their skills and understanding and abilities will grow, and they'll be able to do what has to be done. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I had one other question. I wanted to ask you to please explain again the information in the indictment. I have a daughter, 25 years old, got herself in trouble in Massachusetts with a fight with her boyfriend, and they charged her with assault and battery, a felony, and assault, a misdemeanor. She threw a rock in his direction. She didn't hit him. And she also poked him with a piece of metal, lightly. She got arrested that day. They took her into court. The boyfriend that was involved in it told the court he didn't want to press any charges. Nothing really happened. It was just an argument, da-da-da-da. I'm still pursuing it. So I just was wondering, did they need to indict her?
They can't. No, there must be an injured party. If the injured party is saying I haven't been injured, then there is no injured party. Look, if people do stupid things all the time, sometimes out of anger, and they might throw something at somebody and with the idea of really missing them. So she may have had an intent of missing, not necessarily intent of hitting, but maybe she did have an intent of hitting. But nevertheless, no one got hurt, and look, we all do stupid things from time to time. No one should be going to jail and being forced to spend the crazy monies and hire one of their stupid attorneys that's going to make $1 zillion on all this stuff. And so, no, they can't indict her. We can do a habeas corpus and get her out. So file for a habeas corpus.
And file with who?
With us. Just go on to the right hand. Look on our website. On the right hand side, you'll see the frowny face. Just picture an upside down happy face, and the frowny face is holding up a sign saying "Need help." Click on him and or her, and follow the instructions and file for a habeas corpus, and we'll help to get it out. You know, would be really ideal. Also, is let me think about this. The person who they claim... Now, there's no other injured party. There was a potential injured party, right?
No, it was just him and her.
That's what I mean. There was a potential injured party, but he wasn't. Okay. You know what would be really ideal in this case is to have him file for her as a next friend. That would be ideal. I'd like to see how they're going to handle that. Yeah. Are they friendly, on friendly terms at the moment?
Yeah, no, they're back together again. It was just one of those things, you know. They're both hotheads.
Okay, well, look, have them get out here, become educated on the law. Have them take the constitutional course and the civics course. Every American should take these two courses, and these are not you know, piddly courses that other people have set up that's just, you know, bore you to tears and really just waste your time. These are some serious courses that really give some good information and is going to bring your state of mind to where you really need to be. They should get out there, take those two courses, and you should talk with them and help them to get out to the website and click on the frowny face, fill out the information, and have him. This is really strategic to have him file as her next friend for her in this thing. That's what they should do.
Okay. Yeah, okay. She's not in jail. I don't know if...
yeah, but if she's going to court, it sounds like they want to do something.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, well, what happened was she ended up with a public defender who is just absolutely useless.
Right. Has she been indicted?
No, they haven't done anything with her. It's really weird.
Yeah.
They gave her a public defender. They charged her $135. She's seen this attorney maybe three times. The first time she spoke with her over the phone, she was drunk, the attorney. The next time, she never showed up for a court hearing.
Well, let's make sure she gets that all in her. That shows how screwed up the whole system is. Make sure she gets that in her affidavit, tell her. Write her experience in the affidavit, and he should too. And look at, you know, look at, I'll tell you. Be honest. Tell them to be honest in the affidavit. Admit to the what you've done. Hey, no big deal. You know, just admit to what you've done. This isn't a crime. And that, you know, look at, I was having an argument, you know. I'm trying to think what my wife threw at me once. I just forget. It was food, though. It didn't hurt. It was a long time ago, years ago. Yeah, I think it was our first child, and she was going through that postmortem stuff, postpartum, whatever, after the pregnancy, and, you know, she didn't have control on her her anger, so, but anyway.
Okay, I appreciate the information.
Okay.
Thank you.
And remember, no one got hurt, no one got hit, and she might even say, well, I really didn't aim directly for him, I just wanted to throw it because I was angry, so. But it doesn't matter. The point is there's no injured party. There's no one going to press charges. And even something like this, this should not be anything with jail time. And certainly the government doesn't have any right or authority to come in and make money off these people because that's what they're doing. They may try to fine her $1,000. And who's going to get that money? How much is that going to the judge's pocket, I wonder? It usually goes into their, retirement funds. So, all right.
Yeah, well, they already wrote a security order guaranteed, and now they need her to plead guilty.
Yeah. Well, tell her not to plead anything, and she should get habeas corpus, so whatever you want to do.
Okay, I'll take care of that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, Connie from Connecticut.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead.
Okay, my question is, I'm Connie, I'm from Connecticut. My question is, there's a group of individuals around the country and world, and we're called targeted individuals, and whether it's human experimentation or not, they're using non-ionizing and ionizing radiation. So my question is, for the grand jury, it's 25 of your peers, but what they do with these targeted individuals who they're experimenting on or they have FISA warrants on us, to do this because we're some of us are whistleblowers. They actually spread, you know, they use InfraGuard, they use FBI, they spread lies about us. They do covert surveillance and harassment. And how can you ensure that if you are in a situation and you need to gather 25 of your peers, that they're not subjected to mind control? Because it is going on a massive scale. And there's like Dr. Patrick Flanagan. He says they're, you know, sending the lily wave through people's outlets that piggybacks on 60 Hertz. There's whistleblowers, Thomas Drake, William Binney, who worked for NSA for almost 40 years. There's Robert Duncan, Dr. Robert Duncan, Dr. Nick Bagich. So, I mean, there's whistleblowers, there's scientists, there's doctors.
Well, look, I'd like for you maybe to give me a call if you can tomorrow, and let's talk a little more about this. I'd like to get as much information as I can from you concerning these individuals who are whistleblowers, and maybe we can even try to make contact with them, see if they're willing to do affidavits with us to bring it into the courts. Because that's exactly what we're doing in Oregon right now. And this is not just going to be about the ranchers out there. This is about the problems across America in every single state. Look, at we have these people, the FBI, we have the IRS, what do they call them? You know, we have the marshals, and we have a bunch of other, you know, different quote-unquote law enforcement agents, okay? And they come out after people who just owe, maybe take an IRS case. They claim that they allegedly owe money. They allegedly, to begin with. And why do they always have to come out in the middle of the night, usually on a Friday night, and come out in the middle of the night, break down your door, terrorize everybody in the house, sometimes kill your dog, and drag you away into places unknown for 3 or 4 days before they potentially release you, and sometimes they don't. And they bring in SWAT and put everybody's life in jeopardy over an alleged bill that we all know don't even exist for anyone, okay? Who are these people? Well, we got to hold these people's feet to the fire, okay? We have agents out in – we have FBI agents out there in Oregon making believe and dressing up as the militia, and then terrorizing the sheriff and the deputies' families, and doing things as if they're the militia. They've been caught red-handed by the fire chief out there. We have BAF, or not BAF, I forget what it is, but other federal agents that have come on to the lands of these ranchers and burnt down their homes, burnt their cattle, burnt their grass. This is the kind of thing going on all across America. I know someone who was put in jail down in the city, beat the hell out of, and now walks around with, I think they call it, a kidney bag or something, whatever it is, you know, damaged, severely damaged. And why? He didn't do anything. There's no crime here. All he wanted was his rights. Speaking up to a judge to tell him he wants his rights. People being put into prison or the psychological ward or something. Some people as long as 6 or 8 months because they're crazy, because they want their unalienable rights. They're crazy because they don't want a bar attorney. They're crazy because they want to represent themselves. They're crazy because they want the law of the land. And this is a problem across this nation. And so it's not just in Oregon, okay? And they have robbed land in every single state of the union. All 50 states, they have taken land. And they call it territory, which is a contradiction in terms. So, versus the state, that is. So, you know, we need to gather information. So I'd like for you maybe to give me a call. I'd like to get some more information from you. And if you can call me at 11 tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time, where are you at?
I'm in Connecticut.
Can you call me tomorrow at 11 a.m.?
Yes, I can, but the mind control is being done on a mass scale. I actually worked for the FDA, and I no longer work there, but I worked for the federal government. But mass mind control is being done on a massive scale to the general public, and they don't know. You know, they see the chemtrails. Maybe some know that sodium fluoride is being put in the water. This, I guess the fluoride, helps the aluminum nanoparticulates in the chemtrails get absorbed, break the blood-brain barrier, and get absorbed into the system faster. You know, there's, mercury in vaccines. There's the smart meters. There's all these, they're using the smart meters and the electronics, the lights. The compact fluorescent light bulbs, nobody should use them. But anyways, they're using electromagnetics, non-ionizing and ionizing radiation, and frequencies. So in Oregon, they can actually hit those people with direct energy weapons, and it is going to be so hard to prove. They can be burned. They can feel like they're feeling pain. And they can actually do it to one person in a room, and nobody else in the room will feel it. They can do voice to skulls, and that's how they trained the Air Force. To, I guess, with their flights and stuff.
Let me ask you, would you be interested in helping us to put that down on paper and potentially going out seeking affidavits and other proof documentations of these things? Because whatever we bring into the courts, we need documentation. I mean, affidavits usually are simple enough and is enough to really take it into the court. But, of course, if we can get other documentations, videos, records, by MP3 or something, anything. Would you be interested in working with us to try to pull a lot of this stuff together?
Yes, I could do it part-time. I'm actually,
a
lot of people they're doing it too, they'll get a FISA warrant, and I'm pretty sure they have a FISA warrant on me because I did see statements made to an agent that were false, and I can't discuss that because I had a case and it's resolved. So I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore. But they get FISA warrants, and only 0.3% of FISA warrants are denied by the FISA court judges. So they cover under national security, and so they can't disclose that, yes, you are being followed. But anyways, most Americans don't know that every citizen can be targeted.
Yes, absolutely, and we're seeing lots of people being targeted. So, all right, why don't we do this? Like I said, give me a call. I'll give you the phone number. You got a pen and paper?
Yeah.
845-229-0250. Okay. Are you on Skype? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the wrong number. 845-233-6560. Let me repeat that. 845-233-6560. And earlier when I mentioned my number, if I mentioned the other number, this is the right number. 233-6560. Are you on Skype?
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Anybody that's on Skype that's going to be calling me tomorrow, if I don't have you on Skype, I'm just go look for John Durash on Skype and you'll find me out of New York, Hyde Park. All right, what's your first name again?
I had one other thing. I became electrically sensitive at my federal job. I actually became EMF, what they call EMF, or electrically sensitive, uh-huh, at my legal job. And that also had to do with me leaving.
Well, what did you say your first name was?
Connie,
okay. Connie from Connie from Connecticut. Connie, mm-hmm. I just want to write your name down. Okay, give me a call tomorrow at 11, and, let's talk some more. We'll have other people on the line at the time that are going to be working for investigating, and we can kind of work things out and try to get whatever information we can from you and whatever help you can give us. We're good with it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Connie. Thank you. Okay, let's see. And by the way, this phone number you're calling in on, is that the number you're going to be calling me from? Connie?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me write that down before I kick you out of the queue here.
Okay.
303. Okay, I got it. All right, I'll put you into my Skype here so when I see you calling, I know who you are. All right, thanks, Connie. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Right. Ann from New Mexico, you got the mic.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to share some information. This is Anne from New Mexico. I went to the Supreme Court library today, and I got information on writ of error. And I got the forms and what is stipulated in order to file and where to file. So that was very helpful. I understand a writ of error, like if someone goes to the Court of Appeals or is going to a higher court, that stops, rather than a writ of consortium, that stops the foreclosure of the home, the writ of error. It's very, very strong and powerful.
Yeah, that's if you're lucky enough that they take you into a court to deal with it, because they've been taking homes away without any due process, without no court hearing, nothing, nada. But, there are some people who are, they are doing it, but mostly because maybe they're fighting and maybe they've taken it into court or whatever. But go ahead, finish up what you were saying.
Well, I got an order. I'm waiting for them to write the order and enter it into the court record.
Uh-huh.
And So when that order is entered, then I can attach that order to the writ of error and list the errors that the judge made.
Right. Well, we do have some examples of writ of errors, I believe, on our website, but if not, you can go to 1215.org. But I know we have some on our website if you search our website. But 1215.org, if you go there and you search the engine there and you put in writ of error, you'll get some good information and some good forms of it's really some errors, writ of errors that have been done, and you can kind of work off that form. A writ of error is a very powerful paper. And a lot of people don't realize it. When you go into the court, you know, we do writs of errors all the time. You know, just about every case we go into, we start off with a writ of error because they bring us into their conferences, and they don't have the authority to bring us into a conference to discuss anything. We're fighting a court case battle. Let's get all the paper together and let's get a jury and let's go try it. We don't need to have their silly conferences, because the conferences are there really to trip up the whole system, to get rid of your witnesses, throw them out. Look, I'm aware of a case where there was something like 40-some-odd witnesses, and over the course of time, every time they had a hearing and stuff, they saw this, can't have this witness, can't have. By the time they finished, they had no witnesses. I mean, who are these people? And these are all called summary judgments. Any summary judgment, you write a writ of error. They refuse to give you, to tell you what jurisdiction, and you write a writ of error. And whatever they did in the court that day, you not only write a writ of error concerning those things, you also overrule the judge. And, you know, you have to learn to do things like that if you're going to go into their silly courts. You know, by God's will, Lord willing, we get to the other side here, you won't have to worry about those things because, you know, they'll be afraid at that point. We'll get rid of most of these criminals. But anybody with criminal intent, they're not going to do anything in court anymore because we're going to get on them hard. That's why when we put four people in every county as administrators, we will be watching these people like a hawk, and we will take them down and out real quick. But until we get there, we have to deal with these crazies and do these things. So, but anyway, anything else?
Well, I would be happy to share this information. You know, I know you talked about researchers. So I could forward it, and you could do whatever you want to help people.
Well, we already understand pretty good the process of writ of errors and all of this stuff. You know, if you wanted to bring it up to the Investigative Research Committee, and if they think it's something that might be advantageous for us to post up onto the website, then of course, do that. You can find them by going to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight committees, and then click on Investigative Research Committee. I believe Nathan's phone number is there. You can give Nathan a call, and then you can go to the meetings and discuss these things. That's where that kind of discussion would take place. And any kind of a form that might be helpful to add to our arsenal of forms, okay, we're good with that. As long as it's common law processed, you know, it takes the position of common law.
I believe it can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm working on that writ of error. I never heard of it before, and I attended, well, I had participated in the Monday night meeting, and I was really delighted to hear the information. So thank you, and I'm sharing it, and I'm trying to direct people towards the constitutional learnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody interested in taking the course, up on our website, you'll see free courses, highlight free courses, and we have a constitutional course. We have a civics course. We even have Bible studies. So people should get involved. Get educated.
Thank you for the work that you're doing, John.
Okay, I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see, 6793, last four digits there, 6793. You've been unmuted. Give us your first name and your state.
Bennett, Montana.
Bennett?
Yes, Bennett.
Oh, how you doing, Bennett?
Good.
Go ahead.
How are you? Okay. I have a question because I need to to file a writ of quo warranto
with a court here. And I wanted to know if by doing that...
Well, you're good.
Go ahead.
No, by doing that, I'd like to hear your understanding. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to know how to make the court orders that a judge has already made void, I guess.
Yeah, they're not going to take a writ of quo warranto serious at all, and unless you have a plan on how you're going to execute it, it's not going to go anywhere. First of all, for them to even consider any kind of seriousness with it, you have to be really, really good when you walk into that court, and you're able to really articulate yourself well, lay out law, respond to everything that they do quickly. And it also depends on the judge also. They got a lot of morons in there, and I'm not using that word lightly. I'm serious. They got a lot of morons in there, and that they don't even realize how serious a crime that they're really committing. But they also feel that they're protected, they're untouchable. They think they're above the law. I have to really laugh anytime I hear a judge says, "What, do you think you're above the law?" No, you do. You think you're above the law. So, but in any event, look at, you have to shake this judge up. He's got to be unsure of you. He's got to be concerned. He's got to worry about his flesh. You'll probably get more success of that kind of a thing in a federal court than you would in a state court. And all the lower courts forget it altogether. I mean, they have absolutely, usually no knowledge at all whatsoever. They got their 6 days of judge school, and boy, are they really taught how to damage an individual. Using the courts. But in any event, I don't know that you're going to get anywhere with a quo warranto. You really got to be good. And you have to understand what it means and how to apply it. Look, the very first paper we filed was a quo warranto, okay? And we have every intentions on enforcing that quo warranto. But we also knew it was really the framework, the beginning of our case. It was the foundation of our case, the writ of quo warranto, and we laid it all out for them in that writ. But we don't have the ability to execute it yet. It's in place. It's there, and everything we're doing from that point forward is just building upon that writ of quo warranto. The whole thing is a construction. We are constructing a case. Some of these judges are starting to get it, and these are the guys that are worried, and these are the guys we're counting on breaking, because we're coming, and we're going to get them. And listen, they're listening to us right now. They're probably downloading our recordings, and people are listening. Well, let's just let them know we're coming, okay? We're going to get there soon, and we're going to put you all in jail. Unless they confess, repent, and change their ways and start working with the people to do the right thing. And that's how they can beat that problem. But we're coming. So, you know, writ of quo warranto, you know, you really got to understand what it really means, and you got to have a plan on how you're going to execute it. So,
okay.
I don't know how much you know and understand about it.
Well,
but
I
don't want to get into too much detail on that particular process.
Right. I'm looking for, I guess, what kind of writ or something that I would need to file when the judge is committing crimes on the stand, and how you would do that.
Oh, well, look at you. What you want to do when a judge is committing crimes, first of all, he's committed crime the first day he calls you into court, okay, because he's operating under chancery and not under common law. So right off the bat, you're not getting due process. If you were getting due process, probably 99% of the cases going into the courts wouldn't go there because they're not permitted to go there. So, but anyway, that's the beginning. So first order of business is to, object to this whole process. What am I doing here? This isn't, you've got to make sure you opened up a court of record. And if you don't know how to do that, you need to learn to do that. But you need to open up a court of record. Either you're the original petitioner, or maybe you are the defendant. You turn it all around and open up your court of record as the petitioner, the petitioner, because they opened a different kind of court. But in any event, as soon as you get into the courtroom, You have to object. You have to deny his authority. You have to tell him, look, I opened the court of record, and this seems to be moving according to Chancery. What is the jurisdiction here? He's not going to answer that. So right there, you know, you say, hey, I object to the whole thing, sit down, and you don't even talk anymore at that point. But then with all the other crimes that he does, you got records of that, you want to put it all together in a affidavit, and you then move, what you're going to do is you're going to take that judge and all the officers in that court, not just the judge, every lawyer in there, including yours if they forced one upon you, you want to take them all. And you take them and you file a case against them in a federal court for violating your unalienable right of due process under the Fifth Amendment. And every other charge that you wanted to add to that, you do that with a a sworn affidavit. And that's how you remove them off the bench to begin with. You're removing all the lawyers in that room. The people have to go out and get new lawyers now because they can't use those lawyers. It's a conflict of interest. You're going after them on the criminal charges in a federal court. And so that becomes a case on its own. And then you go back you want to write papers into that court and shut them down or force them into whatever you're trying to do there. I don't know. Did you initiate the case, or they did as criminal charges, or what?
No, it was grandparents came with the grandparent statute to try and take kids away in this case, and they used lies to do that.
Yeah, I don't understand. What's a grandparent statute?
A grandparent statute was it was written to give grandparents the right to visitation over the rights of the parents, if the parents
Let's look at all that as BS. First of all, they never hold that up to begin with. You go into family court where grandparents are willing to take children that are being taken away from maybe their children, and they won't even give them the time of day. And all of a sudden, they got a statute that they're going to apply. Look at the parents. God gave those children to the two parents, and those two parents are responsible for that child. They both also have to be mature enough and responsible enough to understand, even if they have conflict, that this child deserves mother and father. Forget about your rights when it comes to your child, and forget about his rights when it comes to the child. It's the kids' rights. They need the parents, and we've got to make sure that they get opportunity and access to both parents. Hopefully they both want to be accessible to that child, of course, and father and mother them. But there is no way in the world that grandparents have any right on any child if the parents don't want them. Okay? You look at it, you know your parents, and maybe you were abused by them, or he knows the parents, and maybe he was abused by them. No way I'm leaving my child with them. That's fine. That's the way it is. It's your decision. You're the one that's been given that child by God, not them. So that's a battle that in a court of law you'd win. You'd win hands down immediately. There's nothing to discuss here, okay? But in these chancery courts, they love to create havoc and make money and make things go on and on and on and never let you go and all this other junk.
Right. This case has already gone to court, and the judge ruled in favor of the grandparents.
Sue, take them into federal court and go after them. I mean, look at, you know, if you don't know how to do that, you know, that's just another problem. You can't do this with lawyers, and you can't pay their fees. If you pay their fees, you're going into their sandbox because you're paying for a statutory process. So they're not going to accept it, so you have to battle it. That's an uphill battle right off the bat. And I usually go forward and sue the clerk for not filing the papers, and usually they'll turn around and file the papers as soon as you sue them. But in any event, if you don't know how to do that, and that's an uphill battle too, you got to remember that. Your best bet at this point is to really work with us to get law back into the courts, and then you'll be able to call your grand jury and have this thing fixed.
Okay.
You know? But however you think you can battle it in the meanwhile, you should battle it.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Next caller, Gary from Illinois.
Hey, this really isn't Illinois. It's Marsh from California.
How you doing, Marsh? How did you become a Gary from Illinois?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
Gary from Michigan or Jen from Pennsylvania, can you fix Marge from California?
Right.
Gary at Illinois. Go right ahead.
You know, John, I just absolutely had to bring this to everybody's attention tonight. You know, we get a lot of emails all week with things that are happening. But with the Bundy Hammond case going on, I just was stunned when I received this homemade video. It was so homemade, there couldn't be a lie in it. You know, it was that believable. And it showed this going away dinner for this Parks and Recreation government employee. And there was a portly woman standing up by the podium bragging about all the wonderful things that they had done that year while Mary was with them and, you know, this sort of thing. As a matter of fact, I sent this email and video to Gerard on Monday night when we couldn't get on the call. But so what this gal said is, she said, you know, one of our best deals is we've acquired 111,000 acres of mining property, the value of which was $40 million. And then she really gets, you know, sheepish and grinning and everything and says, you know, now, and these are her exact words, we acquired it from, quote, two little men that served in World War II, end of quote, her exact words right on the video. And we got it for $2.5 million. Of course, I wrestled the money from the government. Now, hold it right there. If she wrestled the money from the government, it means that the three-letter agency is a separate foreign-owned corporation. Otherwise, she wouldn't have had to wrestle the money from the government, which is probably the U.S. corporation. So, and she said that doesn't include the land that we got from the ranchers. And, oh, and the whole audience, oh, they clapped. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to throw up. And I thought, I can imagine that this kind of conversation went on before the whole Hammond-Bundy thing in the corporations that started these whole things to begin with to acquire this land. And it was really most disturbing. And I sent it over to Gerard because, you know, the gal that stood there at the podium bragging about having stolen this land from two little people that served in World War II.
Let me ask you, is this woman a federal employee?
Well, that was my understanding, John, because
okay.
It's a three-letter agency, Parks and Recreation, I believe. Yeah.
Right. And were they living in the town or were they outsiders? You know, living in the county, or are they outsiders, or you don't know?
I have no idea. No, it was, I don't imagine they care.
Federal government doesn't have the authority to own any land inside any state, period, end of subject. Nothing to talk about. Clear as a bell inside the Constitution, and we're going to apply.
Absolutely. But I just had to, the reason why I'm reporting this to our little audience here is that the arrogance of these people and their Americans taking down their own country unconstitutionally.
Yeah, they're not Americans.
What about idiots? I mean, what a dumber than we were.
They're the enemy of the people. That's who they are. They have no idea. They're useful idiots, too. And look at useful idiots or not, they have to pay for the damage that they've done. Maybe not as much, of course, as the... but look at, something has to happen to these people that are doing all this destruction. Just because they're useful idiots is not an excuse, you know?
No.
I've heard judges say, you know, ignorance to the law, forget about it, you know? You can't plead ignorance to the law, you know? Well, look at the same thing for them. They're so ignorant to the law, it's pathetic, and we don't care. We've given them opportunity to learn. We've given them... We sent out a one-page flyer to every elected and appointed individual in America on a federal and state level, and we're in the process of finishing that off. But we're sending it out to all of them, every one of them. And it's a simple one-page flyer, which, matter of fact, we should probably post this flyer. We will post them, I'm not sure where. But it's a simple one-page flyer, offering them a free constitutional course. And now there is no excuse from any elected official anywhere. They got the memo. They had the opportunity. And in that paper, in that flyer, we only have a few sentences in there. We wanted to keep it short and sweet and focused. And it made it clear, talking about ignorance. And it talked about people who are in elected positions. They took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And if they don't understand what the Constitution says, they can't really defend or uphold it, can they? Because they don't know what to uphold or how to defend or what to defend. So, but now that they've been given notice, and we'll send that out again. We'll probably send that out every once in a while, that flyer, that free course flyer. They're now responsible for going and getting their education. If they don't get their education, that's tough, because when it's time for indictments, there's going to be a lot of indictments going down. And when that time comes, they're going to find themselves indicted just as much as anyone else. Anybody who has really done some serious damage under ignorance of the law, and they won't be able to escape it by saying, well, I didn't know. Well, that's tough, and I don't care. That's going to be my opinion and impression, and I certainly hope that the juries that hear the cases have the same opinion. After all, we're so close to losing our nation, and by God's will, hopefully we will save it. I do believe it will be saved, but by God's will. And when we get to that other side, we need to understand how close we have come because of the useful idiots. Without useful idiots, they cannot accomplish their goal. And there is an excuse to some degree because you were educated in their schools and you've been fed all their pablum and BS from the judicial system and from the media and entertainment and it all. But now once we lay it, we tell them the solution, it's tough at that point.
There's no excuses, right.
Right.
Yeah. God told us my people will perish for lack of knowledge, and boy...
Amen.
He wasn't just whooping.
Yep.
He wasn't just kidding. I want to say that this last weekend, JP and I finished the constitutional course. It was well done, John, and we learned a lot from it, and we hope everybody else does the same.
You got a copy at the end? You downloaded the copy? You have access to get back into your course, by the way, any place you can get the whole course, but you can go at the end, at the last page, and you can get back in there to get to there. You can download a copy. It's 100 pages plus 3 or 4. I think it's 3 pages, so it's like 103. The answer key is with it. So people should download a copy once they complete the course and use it as reference. Use it,
It's
a book.
It was very well written, and and we definitely all should have a copy of our own.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So thanks again, John.
Okay. All right. Alrighty. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Bye.
Next, back to California again. Roxy, you got the mic.
Hi, this is Roxy in California. I have just a few very quick topics, and try to be quick. I wanted to first just say I'm asking anyone who's in the Central California Federal District to give me a call or a text, because I am doing my best to organize the Federal District. There's 7 counties. So I'm going to give my number. I've called maybe only 75 of you. I think there's close to 300, and I just need some help.
Right. What we're going to do, just so you know, but you can make an announcement, whatever you want right now, but what we are going to do is once we fill all those positions, we're going to have a special meeting with all of that leadership, and we're going to give them access to all of the membership phone numbers to the people within their federal district. And we're going to expect people to be responsible for this. We want to be very careful, and how we're going to hand them out and who we're going to hand them to, we're going to have to be very careful with that because the enemy does try to get into our doors here. But we're going to get you a lot of contacts of people to try to, you know, get them back up, move the lumps on the log, so to speak, and get to bring people together to help to build the entire state, you know, your entire state or your federal district.
I actually do have the list of members and the list of county organizers. There's just under 300 people, And what I'm asking people to do is to call and text me, because of the 75 people I've called already, most of them I've left voicemail messages. The day or two after I volunteered to be the federal coordinator, so I haven't heard back from anybody, and but maybe two people. And so I'm really trying to put a request out here to have everyone text or call me so I can organize the district. And Ron is also a coordinator, but he told me he doesn't have time to call. So I'm trying to call everybody on the list, you know, the all almost 300. Anyway, my number, if I may give it, is 714-657-6445. On to the second topic. Because I have over 30 years as a trainer, an international trainer, I've written and facilitated over 1,000 different topics for business and for personal development. I'm also a trainer of trainers. I did mention this a couple times when I first joined in L.A. Back in November 2nd of last year to Linda, you know, and then I mentioned it again recently that I would really love to be, once we have the administrators, I would really love to train the administrators, you know. She said she's going to be doing it. She told me to mention it to you, John, so that's what I wanted to, you know, if you want to talk about it sometime, I'd be happy to. But she told me that she couldn't say anything for me to tell you. So that's something I definitely want to talk to you about. Let me see.
Well, you definitely want to give me a call. I don't know that I could talk to you this week. Tomorrow, I got a lot going on. Friday's a very difficult day because I got to finish off all paperwork, and I usually try to get off early and take the night off. But if you want to try to call me over the weekend or Monday, I think you were on Skype together. You're on Skype, aren't you?
I don't have that worked out yet. I have a problem with the Skype. I can't accept.
All right, well, my phone number, you got my phone number, 845-233-6560.
Okay.
Give me a call during the day. You could try over the weekend or Monday or something.
Sure.
And let's talk some more about this. Let me think.
Sure.
Let's talk a little more. And maybe we'll get Gary and a few other people together to have a conversation and see once how we can, you know, use your skills.
Sure. Going on to the next thing, I have a few more quick things here. Thanks for that, John. Also, I just wanted to say to anyone, if anyone is in Central California or even South California District, I would like to find someone some way to get a car so I can either buy one or do an exchange. And I do also need to find a new home. Like a master bedroom, a guest house, studio, whatever. So if anybody has any contact or has anything, please call or text me again. You have the number, 714-657-6445. Now, as far as the, someone mentioned peers, and I thought it was a video on the civics course. There, I think, I don't know if it's Carl now or Bill Thornton, but one of them, I believe, said there was a fellow that had asked for a jury of his peers, and he asked for people that would be constitutionalists. And so the judge sent out the sheriff, and none were found. So his case was sent. So
that was a case in California. Bill Thornton talked about that. Yes, I recall.
I just wanted everybody to know. I am also, I've done the Constitution course, and there, I did mention to Jan, he's my federal district national leader, you know, to mention to Carl, because I don't have access to Carl. But there are glitches in it for being able to go through it. I have some notes.
Send your notes and your phone number to Carl, K-A-R-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Tell him what you have, and because he's very interested in finding any glitches that are in that test. So far, it's been pretty good. But in any event, you let him know. Give him your phone number when you send the information, give him the details in writing, but give him your phone number so he can call you if he has any questions.
Yeah, I always put phone in. I want to make certain that the sheriffs doing this course are finding it easy, and I had the right answers many, many different times in the Constitution course, and it's happening now too for me in the civics course. I was thinking I would be done with both of them by a week ago, but I've had some technical problems, so I just want to make sure that Carl is aware of them all. But right now I'm waiting because I have all the right answers as per Kathleen for the civics course, but it's not accepting them. So she's trying to get it so I can pass in the last few days, so I just want to make sure that we're aware of that. I don't want any problems. You know, I'm sure none of us do for the sheriffs. We want them to be able to go through the Constitution course and not have any technical issues. They may not know for sure they have the correct answer, but I knew, you know, that my answers, and then I found out, yes, they were the correct answer. So I just want to make sure I help with that as much as possible. And let me think. I think that's it. The one last thing is, if you think there's something that I should be doing for my daughter, because she's been in jail now for 9+ months without having even trial. They just went to, she was wrongfully first arrested and wrongfully reported, the woman who attacked her physically, and she defended herself, called and accused her of attacking, you know, the other woman, the other female. So she's been, though, in jail for 9+ months, no trial, and I'm trying to determine what I need to do. You know, also, if there's any other ideas from what the woman was saying, was it Connie or someone else? You know, as far as, let me see what notes I took down. Opening up a court of record, is that even possible for me to do for her? Because I don't think so, is it?
Well, look, at once you do the habeas corpus, that's opening up a court of record. What it's doing is challenging the fact that it's not a court of record. It's challenging the jurisdiction, and they can't prove jurisdiction because they don't have it, and so that's why they're going to default. And have we hit the default on you yet?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Friday. I'm waiting for Friday to get the default.
Affidavit. Okay, yeah, so get it on Friday. We'll probably, I don't know if we'll get it out Friday, but if not, we'll get it out Monday. The default, and then we'll move from there. Again, it's an uphill battle, and we're pushing along.
Yeah, I'm just so worried because I visit her, and as of, you know, when I found you all on November 2nd, as I mentioned, she's being treated so abominably. She's having an amazingly difficult time.
Right. Well, we're at a point now that we just need to catch up a little more and get a little more organized in the habeas corpus process. So we have a lot of defaults at this point that we move into, contempt of court with opportunity to amend to these people.
Right.
And then we're still getting a lot of people just ignoring us, but that's okay. Look, we're building up a case, and we're moving forward, and we're pressing the issue, and we're going to break in. Now, our next before we go into indictments, we're probably going to start and get a campaign going with these very specific sheriffs in these very specific counties to move them to do something and the right thing. It's their job to protect these people, and they're not protecting them because they're ignorant, but we're going to educate them. And we're going to let them know, go take the civics course so you understand, because we're going to hold you responsible also and liable. And we don't want to do that because we realize that you just don't know. You're as dumb as we were. We're no longer dumb, and you shouldn't be either. We're giving you opportunity to learn. And hopefully we'll be able to work with these sheriffs and start to get some enforcement there too. So we're working at it.
Yeah, exactly. My one last question is simply, how many sheriffs have taken the Constitution course?
I haven't heard of any yet. That doesn't mean we don't have any yet. I don't know. I'm going to be talking with Carl. I meant to be talking with him this week, but I know he's been busy. But I'm going to talk with Carl to find out to make sure that we have set things up so sheriffs and other elected officials could come and identify themselves in a way so that we would know.
Well, I would like to also volunteer to, you know, be someone that they could call when they're taking the course if they're having, you know, not understanding what the answer would be or whatever. I'm a great tutor, and I'd be happy if they want to call me or text me anytime, 24 hours, and as soon as I get the call or the text, I'd be happy to, you know, to connect with them and try to help them. And I don't give just people answers. I teach people. Long ago, people in school would always say, well, just give me the answers. And I said, well, that would be cheating you. You know, but I'd be happy to teach you or train you or guide
right.
you.
Yeah,
so.
One of the keys points when we put this course together and the same thing with the civics course, look at, you know, taking a course and the benefit of a course is the experience of the course. And to, you know, chase down the answers by going back and reading and looking again and trying to find the answers. You know, the more time you spend with the material, the more it's going to stick in your mind. So the key thing really is spending time with the material. You know, often I speak and things just kind of roll out of my mouth. You know, I never know what I'm going to really say. But sometimes I'm pretty fluid in things, and it's because I spent a lot of time in those areas. And like anything else in life, you spend a lot of time with something, the next thing you know, it's just spilling out of your mouth, and you wonder where it even came from and how you got it there. You know, I always tell people, don't try to remember anything. Just try to understand it. Struggle with it to understand it, and that will stick in you so tight you'll never lose it.
That's how I actually teach people, is I never teach for people to memorize anything. It's
right.
Always to learn it, absolutely. And one thought I have about that is actually doing a suggestion, this is only, maybe you've done it already, is to actually have even a small little booklet that we could each have, or maybe a little page, so it just has, you know, the First Amendment, and we know exactly, and put down exactly what it's for, you know, the Second Amendment, Third Amendment.
Right.
You know, so you really can
Booklet, that's why the book itself is downloadable. But, you know, the section where it goes through, because we go through the Constitution, but we also go through the Bill of Rights, which is part of the Constitution. We also go through the Declaration of Independence. And then we put a lot of stuff in for the sheriff. There's a lot of sheriff stuff there. And everyone should know about this as much as the sheriff, so...
But what I'm trying to get to is the fact that once the sheriffs do it, if they even have a card, you know, even if it's like a 5x7 card they could have in their car, you know, they could, just to make sure, because sometimes when you're really emotional, you've learned something, but it's with consistent use, as you just said.
Right.
And so when first doing something, if there's just even a one page or a card, they think, oh, yeah, first, you know, it's the first, this man, this is your right, you know, that it's just going to be something, a guide for a while. Because
every sheriff and every marshal, which includes all their deputies and even the FBI agents, they should all have in their top pocket a pocket constitutional handbook. And,
right.
You know, you can get them very cheap through the, oh, goodness, I forget the name. Let me see. I have one right here. So the CC something.
Yes.
NCCS? Okay.
Right.
So NCCS.com, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So they can go to NCCS.com and they can look right there. They can order all these, you know, Constitution handbooks. And they should be carrying these things. That's their handbook right there. Now, this other paper that we had did, the course itself, which is 100 pages, they should print it out. It's in PDF. They should print it out and keep it in the top drawer of their desk, or at least have it on their desktop on their computer in PDF form. And when they have a little problem or a situation with a particular part of it, they can click on that and go straight. It's very easy to be able to get around it at that point. And they'll find exactly where it's at and get a little more insight. And maybe they should do some more, you know, exploring on their own, because look at, everyone should be furthering their education. It's a lifetime. We have to teach our children to really become educated. Educated is really to become thinkers. And to, when you hear a word you don't understand, look it up. When you see a phrase you don't understand, study it and look further into it and see how it's used in other places. Understand the combination of the words. But, you know, look at... we have to be educated. We have to constantly be educating. We should be self-educated, and we should be doing it all the time. The best education is really self-education, you know, and life is an education. I've been studying all kinds of things for years. I'd be bored if I wasn't studying. I mean, I enjoy, you know, and I look for the things I enjoy. So that's what I know. I know the things that I enjoy. Everybody should be doing that, whatever it is you enjoy. But everyone should understand what liberty is, and they should understand what a relationship with God is. Those are the two most important things, God first and liberty second. Liberty comes from God. And so everybody should be educated there. And it's a simple process. It's all written in your heart to begin with. Common law is written in the heart just as well as a relationship with God is written in your heart. So you'll find it very quickly once you go through the books. You know, God's book and the book our founding fathers put together, which is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Great. Well, thank you so much, John. That's all I have, so someone else can start.
Okay. Thank you, Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Let's take our next caller. Barbara, I think it is, 9308. Williams, 9308.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Barbara?
Yes, yes. How are you?
Good. What state are you from?
Texas.
Barbara from Texas. Go right ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to basically make a comment, and I'd say that my son, Anthony Williams, you know, I told you all about him being in jail, and on the 25th of this month, which is Monday, he goes to jury trial. He's pro se. And I wanted to thank NLA because I got a message back from someone named Vinny Billups that said that he would be there as a court observer on the 25th, and he's bringing others with him. And plus there'll be others. There'll be about 25 to 30 people there on behalf of my son anyhow, you know, supporting him. So I just want to say to NLA, thank you all for their support. And John, just hearing you talk about these courts and how these judges are and how they don't accept things, how they're not knowledgeable about things, and you know how it has to go from that state court to the federal court, you know, before they listen up. But I want you all to pray with us because I know prayer changes things.
Amen.
And I know that God is able to do anything but fair. He can touch the judge's heart, the prosecutor's heart, the police heart, the sheriff's heart. There's nothing that he can't do. So our prayer in faith is in God, what he's going to do, not what man. Man has set up and they did a whole lot of things they're doing wrong. But we have to have faith and trust in God that he's the one that's going to turn this thing around anyway. So when I hear about these courts and how terrible they are, they're spiritual wickedness in high places. The word of God tells us about that. They're spiritual wickedness in high places. We know they're there, but we know somebody that's greater than they are. And so our faith and my son's faith and those that are supporting him, our faith is in God, what he can do. But, you know, we have our part that we have to do, too. We have to have faith in him, believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so that's where we are, because if not, I would be going that court frantic, afraid, fearful, just looking at, you know, having a down spirit like, okay, he's doomed already, you know, he's going to be. No, I can't go in there like that. Because I know we done prayed, we done fasted and prayed. We've been on our church on a 21-day fast, and not only us, it's saints throughout the land that's only been fasting this month. And some things come through by fasting and prayer. We got to believe that. So that's where we are. And I just want to make that comment and say that all is well. All is well. And everything that you all are doing, it's going to come to fruition. But we got to put God first. And whatever we do, if it's the Lord's will, this has happened. And our take on this is, whatever God's will is, God always has the last say-so. So whatever his will is, whatever pans out, whatever happens Monday, it's God's will. Not man's will, not the judge's will, not the court's will. It's what God's will. And that's where
that's
we are.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to say. I thank you all for the support.
All things work together for the good, for those who believe. And absolutely, in some cases, both prayer and fasting is required.
Mm-hmm.
And bear in mind, you know, the true meaning of fasting, spiritually speaking, is bringing the gospel to others. That's the true fast, because we fast ourselves from eating God's word. You know, we eat spiritually speaking, and by doing by bringing it to others, we are fasting in order to do that. But that's the spiritual end. But of course, you know, fasting of bread, the bread of life in the sense of the physical food, of course, is also beneficial to us also, by the way. But, look, justice is coming, and it's coming. And the Lord says he's coming, he's going to come out of his place soon. And he tells us, hide thyself, as it were, just for a little moment. We read that earlier, until the indignation, his wrath, be overpassed. He's coming with strong judgment, and these people are going to have to take on or experience, shall I say, the wrath of God. It's coming.
Yeah, it is.
He can't. You know, Jefferson said that he shudders for these people because you know, God's mercy and his judgment. He says his God's judgment is not going to rest forever. It's coming. You know,
yep.
And it's going to be here. And look at these evil people. They're going to have to pay the toll, you know.
And then, too, John, we have to look at it this way, too. We are in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual battle. So that's what we have to look at. This is a spiritual thing. And so the Bible tells us there are spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. but up against, you know, rules of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So if we know what we're fighting against, and it's God's word that's going to help us. We got to stand on God's word. We got to stand on his promises. If he said it, he would do it. In his word, he's saying that whatever we ask in his name, he said he'll do it, that the Father may be glorified. So when we pray in his name, in the name of Jesus. Lord, do this in your name so that your Father may be glorified. So we have to pray with faith. And it's our faith that moves God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if we pray in faith and believe in faith, believe what God says, stand on God's promises, so help me, I know for a fact that he'll do it for us. I believe in miracles. I believe in him doing supernatural things. He's that kind of a God. He say what's impossible for us is just right for him. He specializes in things that are impossible. I've been listening and hearing about what's going on in Oregon and all that crazy stuff. God allowed things to happen for a reason, for other things to take place. We're going to have to suffer. He suffered. We're going to have to arm ourselves likewise. So some things we just have to suffer through. But we got to believe with everything is in us, with our whole heart, mind, and soul, that he's with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that's where I am.
Well, amen. We may lose some of the battles, but the key thing is to win the war. And look, all we have to do is just the right and the just thing. That's all we have to do.
Yes.
Everything else is up to him to take care of, and that's where we leave it. But we're just going to go in and do the right thing, and he's going to make it work. So, all right.
Well, will you do? No, John. Before you hang up, will you do this for me? Will you do a prayer for us? I believe in prayer, and I believe that prayers are the righteous availeth much. So if you don't mind,
well,
pray
prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and a righteous man is one who has Christ in their heart. So absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I will keep it in my prayer closet, and I'm sure others will. I'm always talking to the Lord about, our struggle here. But it's his will be done, and I trust that justice, honor, and mercy is going to enter back into our courts. I do believe that. So,
yes, I do.
But I will keep him in my prayer closet. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobber. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Ron, go right ahead from California.
Hi, John, this is Ron.
Hey.
Got a question. I haven't heard anybody ask. With all the papers that you filed in Oregon and all the affidavits attached to them, have you heard or got any feedback on
them? Dead silence.
Okay.
Which is great. That means that they are concerned. And look, there's a lot of other telltales that's going on. We got to guess on some things also, which tells us that other things are going on. But it's going, and every paper is another nail in their coffin. It's another march around Jericho. It's another blasting of a trumpet. And they're... Their walls eventually are going to come down, and we're going to enter into the courts. It's only a matter of time.
And just one other.
And they know it, by the way. I know that they know it.
And have they filed the papers correctly?
Well, they haven't returned anything, and they haven't said anything. But we are getting ready for that process of confirmation. Once we get the committees going, we're looking for a team of researchers and stuff. And once we get all that going, and things will go a little faster in our paper writing, and we'll have more time to apply in other things. And one of the things we do want to work on is literally and physically going after the I don't mean physically in a physical sense, but physically going there. Or in some literal way, we're going to deal with this. We may have to do it through the mail, but I'd like to be able to have someone go to the court and confirm that these papers have been filed. And if they haven't been filed, we're going to put the clerk on notice out there and get them for contempt of court with opportunity to amend and move through that process of potential indictment. If they don't have all these papers filed. Now, look, they do have them, okay? Whether it's actually filed in any particular place, it may be a special file, and I'm good with that. We're special. We're the people. We tell these clerks to make sure that judges get copies of all the judges and magistrates get copies. I trust that a lot of that's happening. Because, of course, the clerk isn't going to can it. They're going to look to the judge to can it. But as far as we know, they have not they definitely haven't been sent back. They haven't responded. And this is not unexpected. It's exactly what we expect. The pressure's on. Game on.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Bye.
Okay. Next caller, South Carolina, Scott.
Hey, John. I just have a comment. The gentlewoman that called in that was talking about the video of the BLM standing up there, I saw that, by the way, and that was disgusting, how they said they stole the money from, you know, what they couldn't get. But I also saw another video.
Hey, do you know this is on YouTube?
Yes, yes, it was. It's on a lot of the Liberty sites, too.
What would be the key words to put in YouTube to find this?
BLM, Bundy, anything like that, you'll find it.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, I saw another video that disturbed me probably as much. And it was, I believe it was Pete Santilli that was out there in a meeting, a town hall meeting where the sheriff was there and his deputies. And they were you know, debating on stay or go with Ammon Bundy. And anyway, he mentioned something about the Constitution holding the camera, and they started booing him. Basically, then he said, well, what about my First Amendment right? And some woman hollered, you don't have that First Amendment right here. And they threw him out. The sheriff threw him out. Now, that really disturbs me more than anything. And it's starting to make me wonder if those people in that big meeting hall, if they're really from that town, because this doesn't sound like, you know, common people out there trying to scratch a living in a place where, you know, the government owns most of what they got.
Right. Yeah, these are people that work for the federal government. They may or may not have come from the area originally, but, you know, they're getting their paycheck. They live and spend time with the people that are involved with this, I presume. I don't know how many people they have out there in this particular area, but look at they got to be shut down. They got to go home. Federal government's got to get out of the states. They don't belong there. And that's one of the things we've written papers on, and we're going to continue to push that.
Well, the reason I've kind of led into that is because I was doing some research, and, you know, according to some of the websites, the BLM is under the Department of the Interior.
Right.
But what I can find is they're a sub-corporation of the corporation called the United States Incorporated.
Right.
And that's that was reincorporated in 1925.
Right.
And registered in Puerto Rico, by the way. It's,
right.
It's an offshore corporation.
And the Philippines.
If that's so, then, you know, they're not really a government agency, and they can buy up all the land and control all the land they want to, and there's really not much.
Well, no, because they're coming under the color of law. That puts them into our jurisdiction, and they belong in jail because it's really, they're robbing the people. They're coming out in fraud, and actually they are subverting the Constitution for the United States of America. They're subverting our government at every level within every agency. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they're, laws that they're breaking. So, no, they don't have the authority or the right to do it. The people actually believe that this is their government. And look, at our government per se is still there, the structure. And you know, there's nothing wrong with the government structure at all. It's the people who have seized control of the controls of our government. That's where the problem is with those people. And they are really, you know, moving useful idiots to do their biddings and their deeds. And these useful idiots have no clue. And they're getting a paycheck and even some payola here or there. And so that's why they're successful here. They do a lot of bribery. People are paid off, and that payoff could be just a really good salary too, believe me. So people don't want to lose their job, and they get lost in the reality. Well, actually, shall I say the fantasy? You know, reality is the way one perceives it, but perception of reality, when in error and is in fiction, is not reality at all. So
I agree. One thing I wanted to ask was, I mean, we have some of the sheriffs behind us, I know, and it's key that we get all the sheriffs before we can move into the courts because there's nothing we can do without the sheriffs behind us. You know, if they have the sheriffs, then obviously we're not going to win. So, but I was wondering, you know, the sheriffs that we do have behind us, why can't we go into those courts? And why can't we open up the federal government wide open and
well,
and
we're trying to identify those sheriffs and see, you know, how bold they are. Look at, you know, some sheriffs are frightened because they don't understand, they don't know. They kind of know some things they should be doing, but they're afraid to push forward because they don't know what the where their backup is. And that's why we have to let them know that we're here, we're national, we're their backup, we're with them. And look at, just stand on the law, stand on the papers that we're filing. Take a look to see what we're filing, and you'll see it's just and righteous. And stand on that. And let's just stand on the law and believe and go forward. And it's hard for these people to do, but look at, the more and more people we get behind us, and the more and more they see of support behind them, they'll act. But look, at the whole key is getting these people, all of these sheriffs particularly, but all law enforcement, FBI, marshals, all of them, into the civic, into this constitutional course.
I just had one more thing, and I'll get off here. I took the constitutional course and loved it, absolutely loved it.
Well, did you find a lot of problems with it or anything, or it was pretty reasonably smooth? Or
no, it was smooth. Actually, I didn't really have a problem with it. You know, I had some spelling errors that were my fault. You know, if I would cut and paste, but I try to type so that I can practice my spelling. But anyway, I found it to be, you know, a really good course. One of the things that I wanted to mention was I was doing some research, and what I came across is in 2013, the BLM had issued permits to 63,000 oil and gas wells on 5.4, I think they made 5.4 billion off of it, just mm-hmm. the permits for the oil and gas wells. Now, the West is...
Right, so they're making money. Now, I'm sure they're giving some to the state, but they're not giving anything near what they should be. Look, this has nothing to do with them. All this, this is the resource of the state. What is the federal government's fingers doing in this? They belong out of there, okay? This belongs to the people of the state. That is their resource. And they are obligated, the people of that state are obligated to trade with the other states the resources that they have, and that's the American idea.
Mm. Well, I appreciate your time.
We got to get rid of these people. We got to get rid of them because they're using this money to come up and to hurt us more. That's why they don't want to let go, because there's too much money here. It's all about money. Always funny to follow the money.
Yeah, and that's what I said. And our government is controlled by not only the banks here and foreign banks, but foreign corporations. Anybody that's got money that can buy a, you know, a bill. I mean, I've watched videos of them writing bills, the corporations, and then meeting, throwing some cash down, and then they just take that bill and put it right in with the rest of them.
Well, that's how they've been doing that for a long time, and that, again, is subversion. Look at the all these bills are null and void. They are bribing these people, these legislators. They're bribing the legislators to put these bills through. These legislators need to be going to jail for taking bribes. That's what's going to have to happen, and it is coming. That is going to be something we are going to deal with. You know, they go to Washington, and all these special interest groups pour out the money to all of these, legislators, and they take the money for in exchange for a vote for. What the heck is wrong with these people? Don't they realize they're there to represent the people? That's a bribe. They need to be arrested, and that time is coming. It's coming.
Well, I'm ready. I'll
yep.
say that. But
I hear you. We're sick and tired, all of us. So.
Amen.
All right. Who was this? This was Scott from Carolina?
Yes, from Somerville, South Carolina.
Okay, thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, Paula. Paula, looks from Connecticut.
Hi.
How you
wow.
doing?
Wow, I can't believe, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for what you're doing. I want to follow up on Connie's information. I have Lyme disease, which was designed as a bioweapon through Project Paperclip via Dr. Eric Traub. Also, Dr. Robert Gallo invented AIDS. All of these are spirochetal illnesses. They're all sexually transmitted, and they're creating big havoc. I have Morgellons form of Lyme disease, which the CDC deems as delusion of parasitosis, which it's very real, and I'm helping people actually all over the country. I'm also a graphic designer. I want to say to you that I would love to be a part of whatever you need. I can offer.
Yeah, why don't you join our call tomorrow at 11? Are you available tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time?
Yes, actually, I am.
All right, why don't you join our call? If you got Skype, put me on as a friend on Skype. Are you on Skype? Do you have Skype or no?
I'm on Skype. My name is Paula.Gallo.
Are we connected, you and me?
No, we're not. This is my first time. I just joined your group. I'm filing for disability, and because this Morgellons illness, it's what's happening to many, many people across the country, and especially in Connecticut. And this is really awful because this is all by design. This illness is patented out of Stanford University. I have all the patent numbers. What they figured out was how to develop illness that attracts insects to the body and infests the body completely, so that what happens is that the Lyme disease makes us smell like we're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very bizarre, okay?
I'd like to talk to you some more. Why don't we do this? And, we may not be able to talk too much on this on the meeting, but we'll get a preliminary conversation going, and we'll take more in-depth conversations. And I want to get people into groups and try to work things out that'll be helpful to help us with our writing and laying out all of these things that you're talking about, because we want to bring these issues into the court. We have so many issues to bring into the court. Health is one of them.
Yeah, I think I've been targeted because they sprayed over my house, and all these particles fell on top of me, and that's when all hell broke loose because I'd already had the Lyme, and then, this is really happening to people.
I agree. Look, we're very much aware of this. I have not seen, in the past couple of years particularly, it doesn't, I travel around and I see them spraying everywhere. And it seems like sometimes when they don't even spray our area per se, but they're just passing through, they hit another, area. I notice that they seem to drop one right over my house. I do believe that they do have a lot of places that are just marked that whenever the planes pass, drop here, drop here, drop here. Then they get to their place where they're crisscrossing with the others and really just blanking the whole area. And they do that too, of course.
It happened in Fairfield today. I'm on an app called Skyder Alert, and I take pictures of the sky, and I send it to the politicians. But, of course, I don't get any response.
Well, it is so serious. If you watch the movies, when you see a movie or anything, even the regular things on TV, you look up and just take a notice of the sky. You'll see these planes in the movies. You see them everywhere. They're just pouring this stuff down.
I don't have television anymore.
Yeah.
It's not worth my time. But it's also affected by EMF and electromagnetic frequency, which enhances the illness. So they've figured out how to do this from all sides.
Well, I will tell you that there's someone that's working with us, Roger from, Liberty, goodness, I can't believe his name of his site slipped me. Let me take a real quick look. Liberty Beacon, that's what it is. Roger from Liberty Beacon. They're putting something together, and they're releasing it this month. It should be January. By the end of this month, they got sales going on. But it's a special test that people could do at home, and it's very inexpensive. But it's a special test that you could do on yourself, and it'll tell you all of the garbage that you've gotten into your body that they've been putting out there. I know it has a lot to do with lot of the metals and the different things. But also there's, I believe, other things. I don't have all the details. I wish Gerard was here because he's much more fluent in these areas. And that should be coming out soon, and we will be pumping it on our website where people will be able to go and get these tests. I think it's $25. It's nothing. It's not really expensive. But you can do the test at home and discover everything, all the problems you have. But on top of that, they've got the solutions, depending on what is inside your body that you've been getting, whether you're getting it through the water or the air or your food, you know, how we can counteract this stuff.
Well,
so that's coming out soon. And
If it's in the air, it's in everything. It's in the food supply, it's in the water. And I'm 95% better. I'm like I said, Jan, I'm helping people all over the country. I just spent 3 hours on the phone with 4 women. It profoundly affects women that are postmenopausal. And I'm doing really well. It's just that it fluctuates between 85% and 95% better. And I know a lot of this stuff. You could do the red wine test. You can, you know, swish red wine for 2 minutes in your mouth, spit it out on a white plate, and you can see fibers come out from your teeth and stuff like that. I mean, and anybody who gets Lyme disease, it's infectious. It's sexually transmitted. They are not telling us that. The CDC guidelines are 30 years outdated, and they are lying through their freaking teeth.
Yeah, because they want us to be ill. They want us to die. They want to make money off us before we die, so they want us to be as sick as possible, and they want to get rid of us as quick as possible. Look, why don't you give me a call tomorrow at 11? Go onto Skype. I already saw someone. I already accepted them. Go onto Skype and go to Find Contacts. Put my name in, John Darash.
How do you spell Darash, please?
D-A-R-A-S-H, John Darash. All one word or two words, it doesn't matter. You'll find me, huh? D is David. A-R-A-S-H.
A-S-H, okay.
Right, and just put it in there, and you'll find me. I'm in Hyde Park, New York, and click on Ed, and as soon as I see it, I'll accept it, and then you can call me tomorrow on Skype, because it's going to be a Skype conference call. But also, if you, for some reason, we don't connect, you can call 845-233-6560. 845-233-6560. That's a Skype phone number, so you'll be able to be brought in that way. But try to get on Skype. It's a better call.
Perfect.
If you're on Skype. And let's talk, and let's organize, and let's communicate on how we can work together and make use of your knowledge and understanding, and let's do what we got to do.
Yeah, I have 4 years of research on this.
I'm very interested in talking with you on this then. Okay.
I also have a spreadsheet that I give to doctors, and I've been asked to help doctors. And I give it to all the people that contact me that need help. And I'm helping people for free. And I'm broke. The first year that this happened to me, I spent $60,000. And I'm filing for bankruptcy. And, you know, I could use help, too. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm also a musician, and I'd love to have you play my song on your show.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it tomorrow, okay?
All right, John. Thank you.
All right. Your name is Paula again, right?
J-A-N-D-A-R-A-S-H, yeah?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
On Skype, it's J-A-N.
What do you mean? You mean my name?
Yes, your name.
No, it's John, J-O-H-N.
Oh, J-O-H-N. Okay, very good.
John
Durant. Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Crystal from Connecticut. A lot of Connecticut people today. You got the mic, Crystal from Connecticut. Crystal? One more call for Crystal. Crystal from Connecticut, you should have the mic. You've been unmuted. Okay, one more time. Crystal from Connecticut. Let me try this. Crystal, you're unmuted. Can you hear me? All right, we'll have to move to the next caller. Last call for Crystal. Okay, next caller. Patrick from New York, you got the mic.
Oh, hi, Jim. This is Terry in Colorado. And a couple of – can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead.
Okay. I found a Wikipedia page detailing all of the events out at Malheur Refuge. And it comes with a timeline, too. It was written all by liberals in the Oregonian and the Guardian and maybe a few other places. Totally slanted against what they're doing out there. And I don't know how to get together some kind of team to start writing good things about them. And I thought if Gerard was going out there that he would be able to mention this to them. I think it has public opinion. It helps the public opinion because so many people get on Wikipedia and ask a question.
Mm-hmm. I believe those places you can go out and actually make changes. It records your IP address, and they may require you to fill out some kind of a form and confirm your email address. I don't know how that works, but you can get out there and make the changes. So those of us who know how to do that should get out there and repair this problem and correct these things. You can get in there and delete and put the truth out there. And if we keep an eye on it, we can keep bringing it to truth. That might be helpful. So,
and I'd like to contribute one more thing. I would like to give out my phone number also because I'm part of one of the district coordinator teams. And I'm just starting to make calls and get things organized. But I'd like to give out my phone number for Colorado.
Yeah, go right ahead.
If that's all right.
Sure.
My number is 303-465-3233. 303-465-3233. If you're in Colorado, give me a call. And I thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Okay, and we'll be having a special meeting as soon as we fill all those positions, but thanks. Okay, next caller is Michael from Colorado. Is that Michael from Colorado?
Hello?
Yes. Don't sound like maybe you're a Michelle.
No, I'm Tanya.
Oh, Tanya.
Hi. I'm in California, and I'm calling because I wanted to... in regards to Connie's phone call, Connie and I are friends, and we have our deal with the same situation. I would really be in on your call tomorrow morning if it's possible.
Okay, one. Yeah. 845-233.
But I'm not on Skype. I'm not on Skype, so I'd have to call in if that would work.
Yeah, 845.
Okay.
233.
Mm-hmm.
6560.
Okay, great. That would be perfect. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to know if it was okay.
Okay, fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, let's take next caller. It looks like possibly Peter from New York. Is that who this is?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Peter?
How are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
Again, we're going to continue with the whistleblowing ideology. I was thinking as we were talking about this, I have, when I first become awake, I was watching a lot of video affidavits from Project Camelot, Project Avalon, different whistleblowers coming out onto video testimony. And I think they even have paper affidavits from these people. So how would people such as that use video testimony in where we're going today?
Yeah, video testimony is good, and because it is a form, it's not really an affidavit, but it is, as long as it's first-hand knowledge, it's good. And that's the key, making sure it's first-hand knowledge of whatever it is they're talking about. But, affidavits are good, of course, and any documentation proving the fact, whatever it may be, that's, of course, good, too. So, you know, we need to collect as much information as possible to bring it together, and then we need to articulate it well on paper and file it in the courts.
Well, I'm going to put a plea out there to Drake then, because he has telephone numbers to both Neil and Kerry, and he could ask them to write some affidavits, bring some information to us so that we could move forward.
Yes, that would be good. Yes.
That would be good.
We'd love to get a lot of these doctors and different people, professors and people who have studied these things and are trying to correct them, and no one's listening to them. But let's get affidavits, and we're going to force them to listen to us.
And there are these people, like I said, mentioning these few people just now, that have dedicated, I mean, I've watched at least the past five years, and some longer, have dedicated their whole lives to this issue, have been collecting all types of material, evidence, material, and now's the time. They need to bring it forward. Please contact National Liberty Alliance. Please help us put that out there.
Yep, we need that. Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see, is 0200, last four numbers, 0200. What's your first name and your state? ...703 phone number, area code. Area code 703, you have been unmuted. Let me double check. Let's try this. 703, you've been unmuted. Last call for 703. Okay, we'll move on to our next caller. Wait, I think I might have heard somebody. 703.
Hello?
Yes, hello. First name and state.
This is 801. I'm calling from Utah.
All right, I got you 703, but go right ahead. Utah, what's your first name?
I wrote my name as Muzzy.
Okay, go right ahead.
And this is my first time calling in, so I was wondering, I was just listening in to see what topics were being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what else to say.
Right. Well, yeah, we try to, you know, really educate people as much as we can. Of course, we're in a open forum at this point. People can ask any question or make any comment concerning the things we're doing and what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if you continue coming to our Monday night calls. Yeah.
Well, I've always been interested in law. At one time, I did consider taking paralegal course. I've always tried to help people with legal problems and stuff, whatever I found, and I do a lot of research. So when I heard you on one of the shows, I thought, man, that must be for me.
Yeah, well, one of the things we have and you might want to do is get out to our website. I'm sure you have it, nationallibertyalliance.org. Get out to the website, click on news or highlight news. And, well, click on news, actually. And there you'll find all those papers that we filed in court. And the best way to learn about law, you know, you need to, of course, take some courses and, you know, learn process and procedure and different things. But I'll tell you, the best way to learn to write papers and to see how things work is actually reading papers. And so go out and read our papers and read the case we have going on out there in Oregon and read all of the papers that we've been filing in the federal courts over the past, actually, I think it's now moving, we're in the 13th month now filing.
Wow. Yeah, I actually downloaded a couple of them, the one that was to the sheriff and the judges and all that. I have that, and I always carry the booklet of the Constitution, and I even listened to Chrisanne Hall the other night for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, she's very educational.
Fantastic. I was so amazed by her class she did on Declaration of Independence. And it's just amazing. This is something that really fascinates me.
She is the first person. She is the first person I ever heard that claimed to be a constitutional lawyer and actually is. I have never heard. I've heard so many people tell me, or I hear people, you know, on radio saying that they are a constitutional lawyer, and I listen, and they don't know diddly. They don't know anything. They're I don't know what it is that they think they learned. You know. So.
I agree. I totally agree. But she's really on it.
Absolutely. We're making contact with her to have her as a guest. Hopefully, she'll accept to come on as a guest. Okay.
Well, so nice to talk to you, John. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, and we'll be talking again soon, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to our next caller, Lori from Colorado. Go right ahead, Lori. And you're going to be on a call tomorrow, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yes, I am. And we're supposed to call you, or are you going to call us?
No. You call me on Skype. Skype me.
Right. Okay. Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, Heather from Indiana. Go right ahead.
It's Heather from Indiana. I just wanted to let you know, John, that Bureau of Land Management video that people have been talking about, it's on the NLA Indiana website. It's been posted.
Great. Okay.
And that's all I had. I yield.
Thank you. All right, we'll take our next caller. Next caller is last four digits on the phone is 8309. You've been unmuted.
Yeah, John, good evening. This is Dwayne from California. This is my
How
first call.
Yes.
And just want to mention a couple of things that we're kind of putting together here, and that is that document that you had put together, the United States Common Law Grand Jury for Oregon and sent it to every member in Congress.
Uh-huh.
I made a copy of that, and Margie and I put a cover letter together, and we sent most to almost every member of our state legislators, both the state and the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So I emailed it over Sunday night to them. So
great.
Tuesday morning when they went to work, most of them should have it.
All right. And this is, you have the email addresses for a lot of these people?
Yeah, what happened is I only live about 20 minutes, maybe an hour drive from there. And so I had to go down there Wednesday anyway because Convention of States wants one of our members in the assembly to introduce a bill. And so I went down there to, killed a messenger, basically, because I'm opposed to it. And so, anyway, while I was down there, I went to as many offices as I could and got a business card for the chief of staff. And then I emailed, when I got back home, I already had his email. So I just emailed that document to each one of them.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's good. Let me ask you maybe that you can get a hold of JP. Do you know JP?
Yeah, I haven't met him personally, but I've been in contact with him. JP lives in the same county as I do, and Margie lives the next county over.
Okay, so make sure he gets all of the emails and any other emails or faxes that you have, because he's collecting that. Maybe you already know that. Maybe you've already done that.
Matter of fact, when I spent about 4 hours putting all the emails together and everything, and I...
Great.
Contacted him and he said, "Oh, I already have that information." So,
okay.
So anyway, a couple other things too is that I think to get the word out to the general public in regards to having more people become more aware of the National Liberty Alliance is to start writing letters to the editor, bringing up different cases and what the government is intruding and stealing private property. And
well, do you have the skills and the ability to write the letters to the editor?
Well, I have been writing letters to the editor, yes.
Well, why don't you connect with me or give me a call during the week on a weekend. Maybe you could try to get me or during the week, during the day. Where are you at? You're in California?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay, so I'm 3 hours different, but try to get a hold of me, and my phone number is 845.
Yeah, I have your phone number.
Okay, try to get a hold of me maybe next week or try over the weekend during the day, and I'd like to get maybe a connection with you and see some of these letters. I've got, we send stuff, I've got, I think, 5,000, almost 6,000 emails to news media across the nation, all kinds of news outlets, and maybe it's time to send letters to the editor.
Well, I think we should do that, and then what I like to do is just word it in such a way that I get somebody to make comments on it,
mm-hmm.
and then I have the opportunity to write another letter as a rebuttal,
mm-hmm.
and then I point out where they've erred.
And so all right, well, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Let's try to get a campaign going.
Okay,
you know, maybe, you know, we'd like to really focus in on exactly what we're doing and the papers that we're filing, and
right.
maybe write letters concerning the papers we're filing to try to stimulate these people.
One other thing, too, is that the April 15th is coming up in a few months, and they're going to have rallies all over the nation. It would be nice to make up flyers about the NLA and just hand them out to all these rallies and let people know that they can get on and be educated.
Right. Well, we do have a flyer we put together mostly for elected individuals and appointed individuals, but we can kind of change that flyer. We'll create a nice flyer maybe, and we'll post it up. People can just print them out off their printers, and which is inviting people to come to our website to take our free courses. We have the free constitutional course and the free civics course.
Right.
You know, so we'll,
okay.
we'd like to get that word out, but that's a good idea.
I'll give you a call next week.
Okay, thanks. Okay, our next caller is a 2959 phone number.
Hello, John?
Yes, first name and state.
Thank you, John, for taking my call. This is Kenny in Georgia. My question is... I'm a convicted felon. 1997, I did some stupid junk. But my thing is, I'm trying to get all my rights restored, and I did 3 years in prison, got out. I've been 8 years on parole, finished that. I've been 8 years off of parole now, and after the 5 years, I can file for my pardon. I did that. They granted it to me, and... they came up with a new law where they were giving convicted felons their gun rights back, that you have to have 3 letters from reputable people and redo the application process. I did that. I had 3 reputable people. I had a marshal that I cut his hair. I'm a barber, by the way, owner of a business, have 3 rental houses. You know, I'm not in no kind of illegal stuff at all. Well, I had a marshal, I had a lieutenant on our police force here, and I had a social worker send the paperwork in, and they denied me. Now, my question is do I fall under that jurisdiction? I mean, under their jurisdiction? Because they said I could reapply back in 2 years.
Right. Well, look,
do I fall
under common law? The moment, as soon as you fulfill whatever it is that you had to fulfill as a convicted felon or whatever, they can't look at you. They can't take your rights away from you. It is true that a jury of your peers can find you guilty of something and take your rights away for the period of time that they require it. Once that's done, it's done. So once we get on the other side of things. And the other side of things means that we get into the courts and take the courts back and give them back to the people. Once we do that, which I do truly believe it's going to happen this year, this is, matter of fact, we started off our first call this year, Campaign for Justice 2016. And so this is the year we're going to take back the courts. Once we get in there and do that, then we're going to restore these people's rights, that people like you. You know, there's very few people who we would want to maybe possibly remove their rights for a longer period as far as carrying a gun is concerned, not as far as voting or anything else, but just carrying a weapon. You know, if you have someone that's really psychologically ill and extremely violent, and as long as that condition remains in that individual, then we wouldn't want to see them to get a weapon. But other than that, everybody has the unalienable right to protect themselves and have a weapon, and you've already fulfilled whatever it is. And you were convicted in a court that wasn't even a court of law anyway. But nevertheless, there's no reason why. But, you know, again, you can fight with these people and try to jump through their hoops in order to get a permit for at this point in time. Once we get to the other side, we're not going to need permits. Anybody has a right to have a weapon. Of course, they need to be checked, you know, and whenever they sell a weapon, they should check the computer to see if someone is a problematic individual that shouldn't have a weapon for whatever reason. But it has to be under legal terms. It has to be due process that will, you know, deny this person a weapon.
So, okay, so...
But it's in the way. It's going to be fixed as soon as we get in.
So right now, under their jurisdiction is what you're saying until this happens? Or can you continue to try.
Look, I've got a permit to carry, and it angers me that I have to do that. But look, I just don't want to spend time in jail. I'll play their game for right now. I'm going to choose my battle. I'm certainly not going to choose the battle by carrying a weapon and spending my time in jail and trying to fight it from jail. So I'll play their game for now. But as soon as we get on the other side, we're going to do away with all this stuff. If you have to get a permit and permission from the government, then that's an infringement on your right, and it shall not be infringed. So we have to do away with that. And there's quite a few states out there that don't require any kind of a permit. So we need to turn all 50 states that way.
Yeah, I got it. So what I can't... In the meantime, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I mean, would I be able to, like, can I bring the pardons and parole in to court for something like that?
Can you what?
Can I bring the pardons? Because we have to go through pardons and parole to get our gun rights
well,
back.
Well, again, yeah, you can try that. I wouldn't sue them necessarily. I would sue the whole process. I'd have to think about who you would want to go after. But you have to get to maybe sue the legislators. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. So.
Okay.
But again, is it worth your time? It's an uphill battle. You'll spend years in court. We'll be in by then. So if we're not in by within years, then we got a problem because America is not going to last that long.
Yeah, I understand. I'm quite with you on that.
We need to get in this year. It's got to happen.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, John, and your answer to my question.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the call. All right. Thank you. We've come to the end of our... night, and that was the last caller, so we're able to get all the callers in tonight. It's 11:57, so we're going to end our conference call. Let's see, I know, what is the song that we're going to end it with? If everyone was listening, let me see if I could find that quick. I should have looked that up a little earlier so I had it in place, but if everyone, oh, there it is, okay. All right, we're going to end our call for the night. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And don't forget, we have Bible studies on Sunday for those who are interested in meeting the King of the Court. And let's get active. Let's do what we have to do. And let's build up our membership. Let's get stronger. Okay, good night, everyone. Thanks for coming. Bye.
Stages in darkness and clear, we're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain who's played it. If only we had listened then, if we'd known just how right we were going to be. For we dreamed alone.
and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart.
Thank you.